I'd like to call to order the November 11th meeting of the Architecture Committee of the Ville Craig Commission. Can we have call the roll to establish a quorum, please?
Yes. Rick Byfield?
Present.
Stephen Bergeron?
Present.
Cynthia Stewart is absent. We have a quorum.
Okay. First item, as we said, we have a long agenda today, so let's keep the discussions to architectural matters and try to keep it as focused as possible so we can get through the entire agenda. First item is 730 St. Peter Street. We have a staff request for a deferral. Could I have a motion for deferral at staff request, please?
Yes, the matter is 730 St. Peter. I move to defer at staff or applicant's request.
I second that motion. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Motion passes. We are deferred. 500 St. Peter Street. Do we have an applicant present? We do. We have an application for a
report, 500 St. Peter is a purple rated building. This is for recommendation only. Proposal to install embedded mesh is needed at stucco crack repairs for application materials received May 19th, 2023 and October 21st, 2025, respectively. The extensive renovation of the property currently underway includes removal of delaminated Portland cement stucco where possible, leaving fully adhered stucco in place until future delamination occurs. The newly applied stucco will be the VCC formula. The applicant proposes installing an embedded fiberglass mesh at the transitions between the new historically appropriate stucco and the remaining Portland stucco to reduce the risk of future cracking. The provided detail indicates that the mesh would be installed in the finish coat, feathered 4 inches on either side of the stucco to blend the repairs. While embedded mesh is not explicitly prohibited by the guidelines, the standard VCC masonry repair boilerplate notes that mesh and lath may not be installed unless explicitly permitted. Unpermitted mesh installations have been discovered and cited when they have been installed in the finish coat and have become visible once the soft stucco wall surface has undergone wear. In these cases, staff has been concerned that removal would be destructive and complex, and no removal has yet been undertaken as a test case. Staff seeks the guidance of the committee regarding the proposed mesh installation, noting that this purple-rated building is owned by the city and the VCC may only make non-binding recommendations.
Thank you. Just state your name and address and relationship to the property, please.
Yeah, my name is Blake Kidder. I'm with Craft Company Architects. I'm the architect working on the upper and top of the building.
Okay. Do you have a presentation or response to the staff report?
No. What Aaron covered is clear.
Okay. So I guess really what we need is your explanation of why you want to do this.
Yeah, so what happened, and we suspect that this happened sometime in the early 90s, that the masonry walls were covered with stucco. The stucco that's up there now, we recently found out, is the harder, non-historic mix. So we're tasked now with like replacing some of the stucco that was cracked, right? So the older, more appropriate mix next to the more contemporary mix, there's going to be a crack that's going to happen. And this mesh we're proposing to use to mitigate that problem. The other alternative would be to, I guess, remove all the stucco and replace completely. But right now, the funds aren't available for that. So this is the alternative solution.
And the existing stucco is Portland, correct?
Correct, yeah.
Yeah, so that was the problem.
Mm-hmm. The whole deal? The entire?
Yeah, as far as we've seen so far, yeah. Every courtyard. We haven't...
And just so you know, it's like, it's in here. It's not the
side.
Exterior.
Okay.
Yeah.
So just
it's inside the courtyard.
Yeah.
Let me,
positive risk.
I may have misheard. There is still some traditional stucco on the building, or you're
going to...
You're only going to take off the Portland where it has delaminated.
Correct, yeah.
And you want to put the... How are you documenting it?
When we first started, we thought that this was an appropriate stucco for the building. Mm-hmm. And we have a unit cost and allowance associated with it. So we have elevations of every... We have an elevation of every wall of the courtyard, and we are going through... the contractor is going to go through and document where they're proposing to remove the delaminated stucco, and then document where it's going to be infilled.
Okay. What's the staff position on this? This is really a deep preservation.
We talked about this, and you know, I think that ordinarily, like Aaron said, you know, we don't approve this material. This is a very unusual circumstance where we have, you know, it's not a full replacement. It is, you know, a patching, and you know, I think that I think it's problematic in this that it's sort of a surface treatment, and that, you know, there's the tendency for this to become invisible. Although personally, I have used this same method in renovating interior plaster with great success. But I don't know with this exterior situation adjacent to Portland how it will wear. So,
and that was sort of the thing. If this was if they were starting completely over, then this wouldn't be as much of an issue. But it was the mixing of the two products side by side with the mesh that was our concern. And it's a perforated building, so like,
right.
Obviously.
Okay, committee.
How much of this mesh are we talking? How many cracks are we repairing?
It would be the mesh. How much repair are you asking?
Well, what's the percentage of new stucco that you're putting up, for instance? Is that we're
getting
as close
to get an idea of the scope, just the size of what we're talking about?
I would say roughly right now, new stucco is probably 15%, maybe less.
And so we're going to have a perimeter on everything.
Yeah, or maybe, I don't want to, let's say 20%.
So, one thing that I think would be interesting, since it's a perforated building, is how we document this. Mm-hmm. Again, since we only have the chance for a recommendation, I think it's probably a decent preservation approach, given the circumstance, but also given the importance of the building, having good documentation of where you intend to use this material, then actually also where you end up actually using it.
Correct. Yeah, we can do that.
Just so that there's a record of where this is being done for a future.
It's fair to say, and Blake, correct me if I'm wrong, that this isn't an area that's going to be highly trafficked, mm-hmm. and they have a lot of wear and tear. It'll just be sort of exposed to the elements.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, this is happening in every courtyard, mm-hmm. more or less. Right now, we're assuming they've demoed the courtyards in the center of the building that face, or to the townhouses that face Jackson Square. We're assuming it also exists in the courtyards along Decatur and Charter Street. Mm-hmm. But Brian's right. Like, this is going to be inside a courtyard that's three stories. You know, in some areas it might be exposed to sun, but you could see even in this photo that it's not getting high traffic by people.
Yeah.
We also, to add, we do have mock-up requirements. So before they go ahead and do this everywhere, we're asking the contractor to do a mock-up so we can review it to make sure it's installed correctly.
Yeah. Okay, is there any public comment on the proposal for 500 St. Peter Street? I see no public comment. Committee, any additional questions for the applicant or the staff? Any concerns? Is it time for a motion?
Sure.
Do you have anything you'd like to add before we go to a motion? Okay.
No.
Is there a motion in the matter of 500 St. Peter Street?
Yes, the matter of 500 St. Peter, noting that this applicant is for limited use and only for areas within courtyards. I move to conceptually recommend or forward a positive recommendation of the solution to the city, with the caveat that the applicant share with the staff the status of a mock-up when it's completed.
Would you mind adding documentation of the areas where this material will be installed?
Yes, absolutely.
Do I have a second for that motion?
I second.
All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Motion's passed.
Thank you so much. Can I just add one more question? The documentation, we'll just provide it to you guys?
To staff.
At staff level?
Good. Yes.
And mm-hmm. I'm going to have to look up to see if this is something that is going to require commission review or
okay.
not. If it does, I'll put it on the agenda for next week. But I got to look it up to see
That's
if
perfect.
It is or not.
I appreciate y'all's
Thanks,
time.
Thank you. 221 Royal Street. We have an applicant present. Could we have the staff report, please?
221 Royal is a yellow-rated main building. This is a proposal to install new structural ties in conjunction with a change in use from art gallery / vacant to art gallery / residential commercial per application and materials received April 22nd, 2025 and October 27th, 2025, respectively. On October 21st, the committee reviewed an engineer's report from Mr. Heeslip, which stated that during the plan review, stage one structural issues arose concerning the added exterior balconies due to the added dead and live loads to the foundation and framing of the existing building. They have been reviewed and analyzed for the additional dead and live loading of the added exterior balconies. After investigating, the existing structure has been found suitable to accept the added balcony loads. It is recommended that periodic inspections be made on this property as a matter of good maintenance practice on a building of this age to ensure that any and all issues that arise in the future are remedied promptly. At that hearing, the committee reviewed two typical details for crack repair. The first showed the helical ties laid in the mortar joint, while the second showed walls joining at a corner with the ties drilled at an angle and the grout injected. At the time, submitted plans appeared to only call for repair on the rear elevation at the fourth floor, and staff noted that if the corner detail is not to be used, it should be removed from the set. On October 27th, the applicant submitted a revised rear elevation commission appeal proposing to install two balconies at the center bay on the third and fourth floors of the rear facade. Staff noted that steel tieback plates are now shown on either side of the proposed rear balconies and requested additional information regarding this recent addition. The applicant submitted a revised structural set from the engineer. The unstamped drawings now show a location for the drilled and grout-injected helical ties at the front elevation, as well as tieback details for the rear elevation. The tieback details show anchor bolts with Hilti anchoring adhesive embedded in the masonry on the inside face of the wall, with a long anchor bolt penetrating the existing joints. The size of the exterior plate is not specified, but they are drawn square in the architectural elevation. Staff notes that circular plates are preferred, as square plates often lead to cracking at the corners as they age and move. More details should be provided for the structural work, and drawings must be stamped by the professional of record before final review at the committee level. Considering their proximity to the proposed new balconies, staff is troubled by the sudden expansion of the structural scope to include tiebacks, particularly since there has been no update to the report explaining why they are needed. It is unclear if this work would also be necessary if balconies are not added to the rear of the building, or if comparable work would be needed on the front elevation, where full-width balconies have been conceptually approved by the committee. Given the expansion of the scope, staff finds commission review to be premature until the structural concerns are fully addressed at the architecture committee level.
Thank you. Would you like to state your name and address and relationship to the property, please?
Catherine Harmon, LK Harmon Architects, 6238 Argonne, New Orleans.
Okay. Do you have a presentation or response to the staff report?
That's just a few brief comments. Working backwards, the round or square is fine. We pick square because that's what's on the front elevation with the existing tiebacks. We don't care if they're round or square, whatever y'all want. I agree partially with the premature thing because we don't know yet on the rear elevation if we're going to be able to have balconies at all, and then B, whether it's going to be a pair on the fourth and the third, or just one center on each floor, like shown in that drawing on the screen. So I think that the structural engineer thought tiebacks were necessary regardless of balconies. I have not inquired about him yet, but that's what I understand that he believes.
And these tiebacks take into account the loading of the balcony.
Yes.
If they, okay.
Yes, they do. But I haven't posed the question to him, like, if we didn't have balconies. I mean, I'm hoping we are going to have them. So he's not examined a scenario where there wouldn't be balconies to my knowledge.
This work wouldn't be done if the balconies were not approved.
Well, that's what I don't.
We don't know. We don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah. We've been operating in the design phase of.
I guess the reason I'm asking is it wouldn't be done in advance, in anticipation of.
I don't know. It's all part of phase three, which is the final phase of the condo building. Yes.
Okay.
It would be done in conjunction with that. The same construction days.
And I think part of it is that if the, you know, the, just as a reminder, the committee has conceptually approved the overall scope of work and the addition of balconies on the front. However, that conceptual approval has not yet gone to the commission because there was the outstanding question about the balconies on the rear, them being appealed, all of that. In order to take the overall proposal to the committee, to the commission for consideration of the balconies on the front, the overall scope of work, and then also the appeal to install balconies on the rear at all, we do need those structural questions answered, because that is going to, that's going to matter for the purposes of whether or not they decide to just defer it because we don't know if that work is needed or not.
But the engineer does think it's needed if we have balconies. But I understand the question. Is it needed regardless?
Mm-hmm.
Is your question?
Yeah.
I'll find that out before we're on the agenda for the meeting on Wednesday.
Well, and that's what I'm saying is I think it's premature to take it without knowing is this work
well, I can find
needed
out,
at all.
You know, within a day or two.
Okay, where does that leave us in a deferral condition until we know what's happening?
I think we need to know some more information about the proposed structural work regardless, but I did want to make sure since this was something that was added since it came to the last meeting, just to bring that back to see if that was something that y'all were kind of, you know, comfortable with. Regardless, you know, saying maybe it needs to come back during CDs, but it's conceptually approvable, or if this is a big sticking point where it really affects whether or not you have stronger feelings about whether or not the commission would consider the balconies.
Got it. Okay. Committee, questions for the applicant or for the staff about this contingent proposal? And while we're thinking about this, is there any public comment on this proposal for tie rods on the back of 221 Royal Street? I don't see any public comment, so committee, have at it. Do you want me to start? Sure. Okay. Well, I've said many times in the past, we are all architects, and I'm not going to put myself into a position of questioning a structural engineer's judgment about the stability of a four-story masonry wall. So that's just me. It's a very uncomfortable position to have to make an architectural decision on a structural matter.
I guess the reason I keep bringing up the uncertainty of whether or not the balconies are going to be approved and this, you know, engineering that's being proposed, you know, because what I wouldn't want, since we don't seem to know the answer, I wouldn't want there to be excessive engineering or an intervention to go in to accommodate for a balcony that doesn't happen. So it seems to me until we do have the answer to that, it isn't so much about whether the engineer is right or wrong. It's just this premature because we don't really quite know yet.
Can we do a conditional
approval,
if possible? I really have a schedule. I'm trying to work with the tax credit people and, you know, with approvals on that.
It seems like we've already denied the balconies, however.
Yeah.
So why would we give approval for structural support for something we've denied?
Well, we're not sure that these tiebacks, I think the engineer's sure, I'm just not, because I was not posed the question. Those questions
so,
not posed
so I do
whether
have.
Whether or not they're necessary if the balconies are not there.
Right. So I do have one observation which may or may not bear on this, and that is the adjacency of the plates to the penetrations for the outriggers. It seems to me that, you know, and I can see why the engineer might be concerned about this, there's going to be penetrations in the masonry for the outriggers coming out. And then the tiebacks are immediately adjacent to that. And I would just, you know, ask the engineer if there's going to be enough gather area for the tiebacks to work because you are perforating the wall immediately adjacent to it. So I mean that this is just an architectural observation.
Yeah, and it's
if it came out of one joist on either side, it might look better, but it might also work.
Yeah, I mean we can adjust those kinds of things, such as whether they're square around, whether they're one joist over or not.
Okay.
I'm just looking for like a conceptual approval or a no, or you know, something to be able to still go to the full commission on Wednesday the 19th.
Well, I mean, you're going to the full commission on the 19th to appeal the balconies. They may not hear the structural, and you may have to go back again.
Or the overall, like, we still haven't, they still have not reviewed the change of use and the balconies on the front either. It has been to commission once, and that was an appeal of a committee denial to install the, like, full width balconies. Yeah. And then the balconies that we're seeing here, you know, they also have not been reviewed at committee. They're 9 feet wide, which I think is also something to discuss with the commission as far as, you know, if that could be potentially reduced further. You know, reducing the number definitely does help. But, you know, at this point, if we take this to commission on Wednesday just for the balconies, they'll have heard two appeals for balconies without having heard the overall proposal for the project.
Right. And I'm just to kind of follow up on that, we had an application recently for openings in the ground floor of a building where we made a conceptual approval only to find out later that it caused significant structural failure in the building. And this is kind of another one of those questions is, if there was no intervention on the rear elevation of this building, would it be stable? And I think that's probably without tiebacks. Or is the balcony actually further weakening a masonry wall that is already in trouble?
The engineer probably knows the answer to that.
Yeah.
Right. And then I just got the staff report as his standard today, so I didn't have time to get with him between 1 hour ago.
So we could make a contingent approval, or we could defer until we find out what actually is happening with this balcony. But I think it would be interesting for the commission to know what's going on structurally should they approve these
balconies.
And
I can find that out before Wednesday. I can find that out today.
Okay. I think we're...
I think we should defer.
I'm just working it through in my mind that if the tiebacks were proposed without the balconies,
we would approve.
They are very much.
But if the balcony is weakening the wall and requiring the tiebacks, is our preservation policy to allow something that's going to weaken the building and then have to be bolstered in order to, in response to that? I think that's really the preservation question.
I mean, I think you need the answer for the commission meeting.
Okay. Is there a motion? And would you like to say anything? Because we understand your time constraints, but I'm going to have to listen to the committee's motion. So is there anything else you'd like to add before we go to the motion?
Just that I would like to still be able to go to the...
You'll definitely be able to do that. Okay.
I'm happy either way.
Is there a motion in the matter of 221 Royal?
Yes, the matter of 221 Royal, I move to defer to allow the applicant to work with the structural engineer to answer some of the questions we've discussed today.
Is there a second for that motion?
I second.
All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Motion passes. I guess we'll talk to you again soon about this.
Yes, and I will be there.
Okay, thank you. The next item is 831 through 33 Dauphine Street. Do we have an applicant present? We do. Could we have the staff report, please? And we have two items under the same address, one under existing and one under new construction. Are we hearing these at the same time, or are these actually separate applications?
They are separate applications. I have them in the same report, but we can definitely present them individually. They are in the PowerPoint individually.
Let's do the old business one first.
All right. So 831-33 Dauphine is a green-rated main building with two detached kitchens. This is a review of proposed revisions to drawing stamped UCC approved in conjunction with the renovation of the property, including millwork replacement and electrical work. For application materials received April 29th, 2024 and September 30th, 2025, respectively. The applicant provided a fully revised set for committee review. Staff notes that a thorough review for any discrepancies between this set and the stamped permit set will need to be undertaken prior to issuance of any change orders, but the following items require committee approval. The two rear loggia openings on the main building are not original, and the applicant is proposing to replace them with, quote, new heavy-duty doors and hardware. Alley door 102B is also called out for replacement. Details show all three sets of doors as 1 3/4 inches thick instead of 1 1/4, with double glazing and inappropriately large muttons, which do not have historically appropriate profile. A square astragal is proposed at the rear openings. Double glazing is prohibited by the design guidelines, and the mutton and astragal profiles found elsewhere on the site should be utilized. Frosted glass is indicated for bathroom windows at the detached kitchens. Frosted glass is prohibited by the guidelines, as is any type of obscuring film. An interior solution that does not disrupt the millwork should be proposed, such as plantation shutters. Security hooks are now proposed over the upper wood panel above the alley gates. More information should be provided, but this will likely be approvable per the guidelines. At least 10 sconces are now shown on the side elevations, presumably to function as path lighting. Staff requests specs for these fixtures, but notes that their attachment to the building should be limited or perhaps avoided entirely. Freestanding landscape lighting could be used, or the fixtures could be mounted to the property line fences instead of adding additional penetrations to the fully rated building. Extensive electrical work includes the following. Many outlets have been added to the main building, detached kitchens, and throughout the site. Four of these outlets are shown above the Dauphine side abbot hall. Staff questions why this is necessary. Sheets E101 and 102 call for exterior fixtures to be dusk, dawn, RGB, color changing. Many of them are not shown in approvable locations. Exterior fixtures must be 3000K color temp with no light changing capabilities. There are references to a 24-speaker audio system, but it's unclear if they would be installed on the exterior. Notably, the electrical plans call for outlets to be installed in the courtyard, specifically for the previously proposed sauna and cold plunge. The prefabricated sauna and cold plunge were not found approvable by the committee when reviewed last year and were removed from the proposal. Any unpermitted installation of these amenities would prevent permit closeout and would be cited as work without permit violations.
Thank you. We'd like to state your name and address in relationship to the property, please.
Kevin Craddock, one of the owners.
Okay.
Charles Neary, architect.
Matthew Flagg, one of the owners.
Do you have a presentation that you'd like to share with us, or response to the staff report?
The drawings and the report, I think, are sufficient. They're open to discussion today on those items.
I guess let's talk about the door, the negotiated doors first. Why are you detailing them that way?
Security is generally the issue. We were looking to provide something a bit more robust than what's there. The two doors currently installed in the rear are not original to the building and are quite thin. We were hoping to provide something with a bit more security in addition to the door that goes to the side alley on the kitchen side. Same issue. Existing door is quite thin, and security seems to be a concern there. Okay. And so we're hoping for a thicker unit and thicker glazing as well.
So I guess there's a couple different, committee, that's number one. And you're changing the design of the door as well?
We were hoping to maintain the profiles and just thicken the overall.
Isn't the light pattern changing as well?
I don't believe so. Okay. Transoms are original, or the transoms are remaining as is, so just the doors and the side lights are the replacement items.
But we're getting rid of the shutters, right? Yeah, for sure.
The shutters are gone.
That's the rear. Yeah,
The biggest thing with having that door more secure is that that's the main entrance we're using, and there's no outside shutters on them to keep it more secure.
Okay, committee. And the things that you've read, Aaron, are all under the old business agenda.
Yes.
Okay, good. Just wanted to clarify that because we have other things to talk about for new agenda. So, committee, do we want to talk about other items or do you want to focus on the motion doors first?
The existing door conditions right now are you can literally just pull the door open and slide. Put in like 1982.
60s or 70s.
Yeah. It's late and it's just not going to work with.
I don't think we're arguing about replacing the doors. I think we're arguing about the style of the doors we're putting in. I could be mistaken.
I'm not arguing about anything, but no. I do empathize with the staff's position about the detailing. I think that's what we're talking about. It's just the way that any new doors might be detailed. And I think if you're open to working with the staff to detail it to meet the guidelines, then we're probably good.
The issue really is that double glazing and the profiles not being historically appropriate. And, you know, double glazing, this is a blue rated building. We don't allow double glazing for security purposes, even, you know, on bourbon, first floor, street facing.
Would a thicker one piece be something acceptable? A half inch one piece?
I'm sorry?
A single piece of glass, only thicker than what's there now.
It has to be true divided light as well.
Yes, I'm saying yes.
Yeah, if you use tempered or safety glass, laminated glass, those are all approvable items.
So we can go with a thicker glass.
Thicker pane of glass.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
I think 5/8 is like the max that we've ever.
So the basic question is, can we replace these doors? And then the secondary question would be detailing. So,
yeah. Okay. And we have no issue with replacement. It's really more just there's multiple aspects of the detailing that are not approvable. Guidelines.
Okay. Then the frosted glass, is that, can you work through
that?
I
think
that,
yeah.
I think it
will. Okay. Yeah. And then the, what are the security hooks? What are the security hooks? And
that's at the front.
The shutter
doors?
There's
an elevation there. It's hooks at above the gates on the sides of the building.
And what are they doing? I'm not clear what they're doing.
They're above the
gates. They're pickets.
Yes, sir. Hooks.
Hooks.
Oh, they're the ones that come like that.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I just didn't understand the terminology.
Yeah. So one of the general things we're trying to deal with is we're musicians, and we have a lot of musical instruments, and we want to feel if somebody's going out with a singer to sit in with somebody that nobody's going to run in and steal the $20,000 banjo. And this property is very exposed on the left side specifically, and those back doors are literally, my mother could probably pull them over.
We have no issue with the hooks, they just need to be fully detailed in the drawings.
Okay.
And we need to see how they're attaching and where and all of that. So.
The lighting, can you work through the details to comply with staff?
I think we're okay with removing the RGB, changing and going with the 3000K.
Okay, I'm going to ask, is there any public comment on this proposal for change of scope of work, approved work? I don't see any public comment. Committee, any questions for the applicant, for the staff about this before we go to a motion?
I think there's one more.
The outlets that were proposed above the Abbott Vaughn, more information about that would be very helpful, but then also the ones for like the sauna and the cold plunge and all of that, like we haven't approved any of those items. So the electrical that goes along with it.
Why do you need the ones under the Avavon?
Security cameras.
Okay, that's a whole nother, so that we can just do that.
Is that an electrical feed or a plug? Usually it's a feed.
It's usually
hardwired
feed
rather than a
feed.
Receptacle.
We're debating whether it's That's we're open. The doors are the most important part of this thing. The ideal way for us to put the cameras, which everybody has cameras, are actually cameras that require AC power. But we can do an NVR, where it's a PoE power reset back to the hub if it's an issue up there.
It just seems to me that somebody could just unplug the camera.
It'd be real tall.
Yeah. Okay. So
you've seen the tour guides walking around
with
the ladders, right?
We can strike those. I mean, we're really here to get the door situation to satisfy any of the concerns about.
So basically, if we adopted the staff report, that would, given the fact that you're striking some items and we're agreeing to the replacement of the doors, but with details to be worked out, that would be an adequate motion. Okay. Is there a motion in the matter of 3831 through 33 Dufferin Street?
Yes, in the matter of 831 to 33 Dauphine, I move to adopt the staff report with the applicant to work with staff on the detailing of the rear doors the detailing of the security hooks at the gates and the lighting and electrical plans.
Thank you. Do I have a second for that motion?
I second.
All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Motion passes. Okay, we just stay sitting there. We're going to do the next one. 831 through 33 Dauphine, new business.
The applicant is now proposing to install new fortified green slate roofs on all three buildings, including removal of the metal cap and installation of a mortar cap. Inspections showed that the two center chimneys on the main building were structurally compromised, and an engineer's report has been provided. At staff's request, detailed drawings were provided for reconstruction of the chimneys, which will be disassembled to 2 feet below the roof line. The applicant stated that the chimneys will not be removed on the interior, so no structural intervention is proposed to support the exterior. Both as shown as fully re-stuccoed. Staff finds the proposed reconstruction approvable.
Great, thank you. We have the same applicants and owners as for the previous application. Committee, any questions for the applicant or for the staff about this proposal? I don't see this as being an issue, do you?
No.
Okay. So I guess I'll start out by saying thank you for taking such good care of this building. This property is a fabulous property, and we really appreciate the fact that you're really
full on
to restore it, including restoring the chimneys. So is there any public comment on this proposal? I see no public comment. Is there any other discussion? Okay, do you have a motion in the matter of 831 through 33 Dauphine Chimneys?
Yes, the matter of 831 to 33 Dauphine, I move to conceptually approve the rebuilding of the chimneys per the application.
Is there a second for that motion?
I second.
All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Motion passes. Thanks so much. Good luck.
Is that including the roof?
Yes.
And that's the staff.
The roof's at staff level, we can talk about all that.
But that's all
part of it, yeah.
Okay, next item is, thank you so much for coming in. 321 Charter Street, do you have an applicant present?
Thank you.
Okay, I'm going to say it again. 321 Charters. Yes. We do have an applicant. Okay, do we have the staff report, please?
Sure, 321 Charters is a green rated main building. This is a proposal to install metal parapet cap flashing and replacement structural elements in conjunction with a new roof. For application materials received July 2nd, 2025 and October 22nd, 2025, respectively. The applicant proposes to install a new natural slate roof, which is staff approvable in all aspects except rafter replacement and the proposed installation of copper parapet cap flashing. Approximately 25 2x6x12 rafters are called for replacement at the midspan of the roof, with Simpson strong ties to be installed. The scope of work calls for removal of the existing membrane at the valley gutters and parapets, which currently extend to the top of the parapet and have a top-mounted termination bar. The applicant proposes to install mechanically fastened formed copper coping caps. Staff acknowledges that the current conditions are not best practice for preventing moisture intrusion. However, metal parapet caps are generally prohibited by the guidelines, and photos submitted by the applicant as precedent show a number of properties with current work without permit violations rather than approved compliant conditions. When the committee does approve the use of metal caps, they are usually limited to unusually low parapets or wall assemblies other than regularly formed historic masonry, such as CMU or wood frame. It appears that some of the parapets in question are extraordinarily low, while others are tall enough to have a termination bar appropriately mounted on the inside face of the wall rather than at the coping. It is unclear how these parapets interact with each other or if they can be approached individually. If metal cap flashing is found approvable for this property by the committee, more detailed information must be provided prior to final review and permit, including a survey indicating if any of these walls are shared with other properties. Additionally, multiple chimneys have been encapsulated in membrane. Detailed proposals should be submitted indicating how these conditions will be addressed.
Thank you. I'd like to state your name and address in relationship to the property, please.
Christina Jones, 215 Decatur Street, and I'm a property manager.
Aaron Clay, Webco Services Contractor.
Oh, okay. Do you have a presentation or response to staff report you'd like to share with us? Okay. Well, I mean, this is something that's prescribed by the standards, and so you'd have to perhaps present an extraordinary circumstance why you need to have this detail rather than the one that is allowed.
So is the copper coping cap not allowed on this property?
Well, the staff was kind of clear, there are different conditions on the property where you might be able to make an argument for a very low parapet because there's not enough room to adequately flash the roof into the wall. But in other circumstances, you just don't allow it.
Because we need, all right. So what is the best way to go about this? Because from my standpoint, we typically you get a copper gutter in here because the TPO is not acceptable, correct?
I don't really know what you're talking about. There's a lot of different conditions here.
On the right of the picture, that where the white line is below the slate, that is a gutter system.
Uh-huh.
Further down, all that is a TPO single plied membrane gutter system.
Okay.
That was just laid in there. It's just laid in there. Typically, we run copper when we're running slate. So, where the copper terminates to the top of the wall, that's where a coping cap would go to finish that off to the top of the wall.
Mm-hmm. And this is a case where you're talking about 2 or 3 inches, right, of parapet, quote-unquote parapet, above your gutter.
Correct.
And this is a condition where in the past we have allowed the use of a cap because there's not enough room to develop a side attachment for your termination. But in other instances where you have a taller parapet, we ask for the traditional.
Here.
Like right there. Because there's enough room for the thing to come up, be side attached, and then a cap to be installed.
So what he's saying is the whole roof might not be the same. You have different conditions, so you're gonna have different caps.
You would have the same cap all the way around.
We're saying no.
Oh.
Well, we're saying there's different conditions that might call for a different detail.
So what's happening here is not gonna be the same as what was happening here.
All right. So
that's what we want.
That's what we're waiting for some feedback.
Oh,
yeah.
It's really hard to fully consider the proposal because we don't have a plan. We don't have a plan that shows the whole roof and shows the various parapet conditions. Like here we have a low one, we're going to need a cap. Here we have a high one, we can terminate on the side of the wall.
I know. I agree. I think we need a plan and a schedule of what repairs go where.
And I agree. Because what we're seeing is little snapshots, but we're not really actually seeing.
We don't know what the whole scope of the project is.
Yeah. So if you could kind of get that additional information, then we could actually say, yeah, this is a condition where a metal cap is appropriate and approvable, and this is a location where it's not. Or you could take the feedback that you've gotten today and revise your proposal entirely so it can be approved at the staff level.
Okay.
So, but at no point would they be able to approve a cap, or would they be able to approve?
I don't believe so. You can't
approve. Not where the low parapet is.
That's always a committee.
So, kind of no matter what.
You're coming back. Yeah, you're coming back. Is there any public comment on this proposal?
Yep. What is that
getting louder to?
I think it's a feedback.
I don't see any public comment. Could we have a motion for deferral?
Yes, a matter of 321 charters. I move to defer to allow the applicant to further develop the proposal with a plan and details for review.
Thank you. Do I have a second for that motion?
A second.
All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Motion passes. Sorry, but just get us a plan and tell us what you want to do in each place. And work with the staff because they'll be able to help you kind of tailor this to a point where it can be easily approved here.
Yeah.
Okay, thank you so much for coming
in.
Next item is 600 Burgundy, including 941 Toulouse Street. Do we have an applicant present? 600 Burgundy, 941 Toulouse. I don't see anybody present, so we'll just skip over that one and move on to 1024 Charter Street. Do we have an applicant present for that? We do. Okay, let's hear the staff report, please.
Self-location concerns the complex of properties that make up the hotel property that carries the primary address since before charters. The specific work is for the green rated building at approximately 6 Ursuline Street. A shoring company approached staff approximately 3 months ago and submitted an application for emergency shoring of the sidewall of this building. Staff issued the permit for shoring, and plans have now been submitted to fully address the failing wall. The proposed remediation work includes deconstructing a large center portion of the side wall from the peak of the parapet down to the first floor level. A section of wall approximately 9 feet, 1 inch would remain in place near the front of the building, and an approximate 4 foot section would remain in the rear. There's only a narrow alley of approximately 40 inches between this building and the neighboring building. The wall portion is shown being rebuilt with salvage brick and common bond pattern to match existing. The rebuilt wall is noted as being too thin to the existing brick porosity and having the mortar composition match the existing mortar. Salvage millwork will be installed in the recreated openings in the wall. Changes in the reconstructed wall would include new steel lintels above the window openings and the proposed installation of new helical ties, horizontally and mortar joints between the old and new wall section. Although this is a major intervention for this building, staff appreciates the details provided for the proposed remediation. Staff finds the proposed use of helical ties and horizontal mortar joints between the existing section and reconstruction section of the walls to be an appropriate use of helical ties in this instance. Staff recommends conceptual approval of the proposal if any final details are worked out at the staff level.
Thank you. Would you like to state your name and address in relationship to the property, please?
Robert Boyd, Holly and Smith Architects. We're the architects for the project. 2302 Magazine Street.
Great. Do you have a presentation or response to the staff report you'd like to make?
I do. I'll just give you a quick background. We did a full exterior restoration of this building and all the other buildings on this property about 2 years ago, all due slate roofs and flashings, and recoded all of the stucco and did a lot of brick replating. At that time, we knew this wall was curved, was leaning somewhat, but we had it inspected and felt that it was stable, and we just wanted to keep our eyes on it. And 2 years later, we could see that it is actually pulling away from the structure, and that's what initiated this change. So our intent is to just go back with exactly what's there. We will be reusing as many of the bricks as can be salvaged. We have an extra store of antique bricks that look very, very similar to the ones we're doing here, so those will supplement any that get damaged. All of the new slate that we put on the roofing originally, we still have quite a bit of stock from the exact same source, so any that we have to replace will match exactly. And it's the same contractor who's going to be rebuilding us, who did the original restoration, so they're pretty familiar with the building.
Okay. Committee, any questions for the applicant or for the staff about this proposal?
Seems pretty straightforward.
Normally we'd ask for a structural report to support this.
Did we get one when we did the shoring?
I believe we did.
Yeah. When we did the emergency shoring, I think we had the full structural
report.
Yeah.
Have you provided a structural report?
Aubrey did.
I didn't. Avery Brothers did. They provided the initial shoring submission.
I guess the question that I would ask of a structural engineer would be, is this intervention absolutely necessary, or could you stabilize the wall using methods that we normally approve, which would be tiebacks?
I don't think I have a report that says specifically that, but I can tell you that when we did the emergency shoring, it had pulled away from the structure 3 or 4 inches. We could be up there on the roof and you could see where the old thing was, and it was coming out. So I guess we can go back and find out if they actually did do a specific report, but based on Avery Brothers and Morphy McCoskey, that's our structural engineer, yes, it's always this was the right approach.
Okay. Is there any public comment on this proposal? I don't see any public comment. Committee, questions for the applicant, for the staff, about this proposal?
We can always review that with staff if you would like.
Yeah.
It's something.
Answer to that question.
We've had other proposals to reconstruct walls, and they've always been supported by very specific structural reports. And this is extraordinary scope of work, but I'm not seeing anything to support it, except for your observations, which, I mean, if the wall is moving, you know, it's like, yeah. I'm out, so.
Well, it's stable now, so that we have time to make sure we get it done right.
Okay. Committee.
So do we want to defer, or do we want to approve based on?
Okay. guess that would be something that you have to decide.
Well, it looks like the documents provided here are adequate to support the rebuilding of this wall if it is structurally necessary. And so I feel like we can conceptually approve with the proviso that the applicant provide a structural report to staff for their review, and if staff deems that it needs to come back to us, they can do that.
And I'd like that report to reflect the examination of less intensive intervention as an alternative. In other words, tell us why a less intensive intervention can't solve the problem. Okay, is there a motion in the matter of 1024 Charter Street?
Yes, in the matter of 1024 Charters, I move to conceptually approve the proposal with the proviso that the applicant provide to staff a structural report that that explains the reason for this more invasive repair approach.
Thank you. Do I have a second for that motion?
A second.
All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Motion passes. Thanks so much.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thanks.
The next item is 1021 Charter Street. Do we have an applicant present? You do?
Yes.
Okay. Could we have the staff report, please?
Sure. 1021 Charters is a green-rated main building. This is a proposal to replace the existing balcony railing with new ornamental cast iron railing. Application materials received October 21st, 2025. The applicant proposes to demolish the existing balcony railing and install a collection of cast iron pieces to create a new decorative railing. The proposed new railing is much more ornate compared to the existing. The existing railing is rather simple in design, but is appropriate for the circa 1850 building. The earliest photograph staff found of this building dates to 1945 and show the same railing that is currently in place. Staff can find no indication that the existing railing is some kind of replacement of an earlier railing. The railing potentially dates the original construction of the balcony. In addition to the question of the appropriateness of the proposed design, staff also notes that the proposal would add a significant amount of weight to the balcony. Staff completed a rough estimate of the total weight of the proposed new cast iron and estimates that it would weigh more than 900 pounds. There's almost certainly a large increase compared to the weight of the existing railing. Without some clear evidence indicating that the existing railing is not historic building fabric, staff finds the replacement of it with a more ornate new cast iron pieces with no historic documentation to be inappropriate. Staff recommends denial of the current proposal.
Great. Now, if you state your name and address and relationship to the property, please.
Thank you. Jenny West, Studio West, 2340 Dolphin Street, for the architect for the applicant.
Okay. Do you have a presentation, response
to
staff report?
Yes, absolutely. We appreciate the staff coming out to take a look at this. We have been working with the owner. The owner recently purchased this property and truthfully is very much envious of any other style railing that is not this one. We too struggle to find historic documentation in the records or anything else that showed that evidence that this would be it. We did find evidence around the quarter that this railing style does appear to be a later date one, you know, but again, we can't find anything substantial to document it. We would understand the staff's report, would like to open it for discussion, and if there's any possibility for that the committee would entertain, even if there was additional research, that we defer the application for further.
Do we have a close-up photograph of this rail?
Currently or?
Currently.
Yes. I mean, well, it's the same as this one.
Right.
Yeah.
And
then.
Yeah, it's very mid-century
today. Can you get that on bigger?
Yeah, it does appear.
Okay. So, I mean, I guess the questions are, are the pickets welded into place, or are they...
Mm-hmm. I mean, appears to be a more modern railing up close. We do understand the structural component, but we would hire a structural engineer to do the detailing for that. I think we're all just sort of stumped as to where to go.
My question would be, it seems to me the cast iron that's proposed is of a different period,
mm-hmm.
And to do a wrought iron similar to, you know, either that or some other more simplified wrought iron that's better than what's there now.
Okay.
Like that cathedral pattern next door.
That's
what we want.
Exactly. Okay, so that's if we could get just that discussion even to discuss with staff further and bring something back for review, I think that would be helpful.
Now, I don't know about the panels, but I think the rail... Yes.
Yeah, I mean, I think that is kind of.
Yeah, I think that the philosophy behind this is, if you're going to replace the rail, replace it with one that's more like the age and style of the building, rather than what might have been done to one of these buildings in the 1850s or 60s when they replaced the rails. But there's a lot of examples around the French Quarter of buildings of this age having new cast iron rails installed, but that was in the 1860s.
Right, correct.
Not in the 2025s. So because that was a style response, and now we're doing a preservation response. So I think that the rail, the cathedral, you know, the Gothic rail to this side is probably...
That would be, they just, in general, just anything, this was the preferred, was what we brought, which we also thought may not be acceptable, but I just want to have a discussion on that. Okay, if that's possible, can we request a deferral of this application to...
Sure, but first I'm going to see if there's anybody that wants to talk about it. Public comment for the proposal for 1021 Charter Street. I don't see any.
But also keep in mind when you're designing this, you're going to have to make it taller for code. Yeah, so, I mean, that might be a design element as well. I don't know how that's
going to
work out. Yeah.
Okay. Committee, I think we have an applicant asking for deferral. Do we have a motion to support that? Unless you have a comment.
Well, I do have a comment or a question. Do we not think that any railings from 1945 have standing on their own?
Decent question.
I actually think this is older than 45, isn't it, Nick?
I would think so, yeah.
It's older than 45.
It does appear to be older than 45.
Yeah.
What I
have no indication to think that it's not.
I mean, it's not. I mean, there's
it's parts.
Yeah. I mean, I would have to see it really close in order to talk about its fabric. You know, like. So a simple deferral will allow for a little bit more investigation, and reconsideration of the proposal. And I think that actually getting some detailed pictures of the railing will actually support your argument as to its age, because it could be much older.
Yeah.
I mean, the design is pretty typical of an old wrought iron style, so.
Yes, we'll provide that information.
Great.
For a robust conversation. Thank you.
We have a motion in the matter of 1021 Charter Street, please.
Yes, the matter of 1021 Charter, I move to defer to allow the applicant to further develop the proposal.
Thank you. Do I have a second for that motion?
I second.
All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion passes. We'll see you later in the meeting. Oh, we're going to see you right now. 1032 Royal Street. We have an applicant present and an owner,
yes,
maybe?
Yes, we are present.
Do we have the staff? Oh, we're going to do the staff report first.
Yes, this is a proposal to install new paving and a new fountain courtyard. Application materials received October 21st, 2025. This property was last before the Architecture Committee in February 2025 regarding the creation of openings between this property and the neighboring 620 Earth Lines property. This proposal is for new paving in 1032 Royal Street only, but the applicant notes that some of the inspiration for this proposal comes from the existing paving at 620 Ursuline. At the very rear of the courtyard, in the area of the two new openings to 620 Ursuline, the applicant proposed the installation of new herringbone brick paving set within a crisscross pattern border of bricks. Two of the borders would align with the existing brick paving in front of the service cell. Staff finds this aspect of the proposal approvable. The brick crisscross borders would extend into an existing garden bed area and border new slate paving. This design mimics the existing paving in the 620 Earth Science Courtyard that also features slate paving set within brick outlines. The guidelines for paving state that the BCC recommends minimizing the amount of paving on site and using traditional stone or brick in an area of new paving. Staff finds the proposed area of slate paving with brick borders somewhat atypical, both in the combination of these two materials and the irregular layout. Although the applicant stated that all the new paving would be installed on gravel beds with sand joints, staff is also concerned about this increase in paving area in what is now an open planning bed. Staff measured the proposed new slate paving at approximately 240 square feet. The final aspect of the proposal is the installation of a new fountain. There is an existing simple fountain in this courtyard near the center of the existing brick paving area, which would remain in place. The proposed new fountain is shown at the very rear of the courtyard, located behind the service aisle. The proposed new fountain is shown with more ornate detailing and is shown as being about the same size as the existing fountain. The guidelines reference fountains as water features and note that the BCC requires a fountain to be compatible with the historic and architectural character of the property. Staff finds the proposed location of the fountain near the rear corner of the property to be somewhat atypical, particularly for a fountain of this size and design. Staff points of a smaller and more simple wall fountain may be more appropriate for this location. Although staff finds the concept of the proposed new brick paving to be approvable, staff requests commentary from the committee regarding the proposed new slate paving and the new fountain.
Thank you. If you restate your name and address.
Jenny West, Studio West, 2340 Dauphine Street.
Good. Rebecca Gillibly, also Studio West.
Okay, great. Do you have a response to the staff report? Or
I think we brought this This is in an effort to connect these two properties. We were available for a different application on this. And the paving style is a request from the owner in terms of continuity between the two properties. We understand staff's comments on the fountains. And again, just wanted to be transparent with what the owner would like to do on the property. But we understand that point.
Okay, committee, what do you think? What I would say is that each of these buildings in the French Quarter is a unique property in and of its time and its maker, and owner's will to make continuity between two of them by changing pattern, paving pattern, is probably not appropriate.
Understood. Would it be appropriate for us to do the herringbone pattern in lieu of the slate to find that acceptable? So that it's a full brick courtyard space.
Yeah, that would be consistent with what's existing, right?
Correct.
Yeah.
Yeah, then yes.
Okay, great. If we could do that, I think they would be agreeable to that. And then we would like, obviously, review the fountains as well.
The fountains are, excuse me, but that's a lot.
Yes, we understand. Again, I think we would like to have direction from this committee to take back to them. We have also relayed that as well. But again, just wanted to be transparent in terms of...
Yeah, absolutely. I think the staff report is really spot on here.
I don't object to the bronze so much as I object to the circular shape up against the wall.
Would it be understood? So our... recommendation was similarly a wall fountain, but I think we would just like to have that as.
Okay. Well, that's the staff recommendation.
Yes.
Yeah. Is there any public comment on this proposal? I see no public comment. Do you want to say anything before we go to a motion?
I think that's it. So, but just to make sure we're clear, you would be agreeable to the bronze fountain replacement?
That's pretty much furniture.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's replacing the existing fountain?
The existing fountain in its current location. It would just be with something more...
It's in the middle.
Okay, yeah. Which has no... It has no standing? It,
yeah.
It just... I don't know. Is there anything special about that? Staff?
It's not a historic location.
Okay.
There's nothing historic about it. Okay, motion?
Yes, in the matter of 1032 Royal, I move to conceptually approve the installation of new brick paving in a herringbone pattern consistent with existing paving on site in the areas indicated in the proposal, and conceptually approve the installation of a fountain at the rear of the property with the proviso that it be redesigned to a wall fountain, and conceptually approve the replacement of the existing fountain with bronze parts.
Do I have a second for that motion, please?
I second.
All in favor say aye.
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 Motion passes. Thanks so much for coming
in.
And we'll see you again later in the meeting. Okay, 827 Ursuline. We have an applicant present. We do. Excellent. Could we have the staff report, please?
All right, 827 Ursuline is a green-rated main building and service building. This is a proposal to renovate the courtyard, including installation of a water feature, per application of materials received October 27th, 2025. The proposed courtyard renovation includes removal of existing brick pavers to be replaced with 2-inch thick buff-colored flagstone set on a permeable base. The pavers are shown in a continental pattern with butt joints and no mortar. Existing simple brick planters on the Dauphine side and Burnside property lines will be replaced with wider, deeper planters built from CMU with tartan brick veneer and flagstone coping. Waterproofing membranes are shown at the historic courtyard walls. A new fountain with an overall width of 12 feet and an internal measurement of 8 foot by 3 foot 8 is shown on the Dauphine side. It's described as having a poured concrete core, historic brick finish face, tile lining TVC, carved stone raised wall piece with copper spouts, fountain pump to be installed in basin niche. Additional drains are added throughout. Staff requests confirmation that all PVC will be subterranean and the proposed decorative drain covers must be submitted for review. A graphite-colored decorative sconce is proposed at the first floor of the rear dependency. The fixture and location meet most of the guidelines for decorative fixtures, except the finish is not appropriate. An unpermitted second floor decorative fixture is also inappropriate in finish and glass color and should not be retained, but may be replaced with a copper sconce. The guidelines state the BCC requires replacing existing brick or stone paving in kind, matching what is existing in material and pattern appropriate to the building type and construction period, and a fountain or fish pond to be compatible with the historic and architectural character of the property. Overall, staff finds the finishes and fountain to be of a higher style than the two bakery old cottage and outbuilding. Maintaining the existing brick pavers and installing a less ornate fountain would be preferable and more in keeping with the guidelines, as they would be more appropriate to the existing building type and architectural character. However, staff does not find the proposed work inappropriate or detrimental for the guidelines.
Thank you. I'd like to state your name and address and relationship to the property.
John Mills, we're Landscape Architects, 1419 Logan Street.
And I'm Jennifer Pompos.
You're with the same firm?
I'm with the same firm.
Okay, thank you. Do you have a presentation you'd like to make or response to the staff report?
I'm sorry, it's too.
Do you have a presentation or response to staff report that you'd like to share with us?
Nothing in addition to.
Well, the report does raise some questions that could be responded to.
So we would, yeah, just in response, I think, to the, both the pavers and then the fountain are the two in question. So can we go back to the picture of just the pavers as is the brick current conditions? There we go. So those are more or less what we're calling a hodgepodge of different brick materials, some hard tans, some soft reds, some wire-cut brick. It's laid on sand. You can kind of see it looks more or less like a quilt. We're proposing to use buff flagstone, more of a traditional stone that we think might go well. And that's really, you know, we've used it on a few projects. I guess what we would call evil style, but in the quarter. That's the piece right there. But just recently, we've used it at 1026 Esplanade, 929 Barracks, 625 Dauphine Street. So we're just hoping to use something that's a little bit more uniform, and if it's going to sit on a permeable paving base, the larger pieces seem to just stay in place better. And then we're open for comments on the fountain. We have a basin, I think it's a little bit more traditional, and I don't know if it's the basin or the piece on the back, but I'm assuming it's the piece on the back that's giving that comment. Okay. So the basin, you know, kind of makes the shape of the planting bed, which we like. We're up for revising the piece on the back, even though it's not necessarily a permanent piece. It'll be a piece made out of stone that can be removed, but so those are really our response to that. I mean, if that's something you guys feel is too high style, be revised. But just know that it is a piece that's not permanent to the fountain basin.
Okay. Well, let's start with consensus. I agree on the bricks. They're not really particularly well done. So we all agree on that. Committee, questions for the applicant about this proposal?
I mean, it appears to increase the permeability of the surface, so that's a plus.
Mm-hmm.
The stone did. I'm sorry, I missed the last part.
We have more planting beds, so there's
just
more area.
Yeah,
yes,
we
yes.
did. We increased the.
Is that more area for water absorption?
Yeah, and it also just allows the ability further away from the brick fence.
And this is a private courtyard, correct? This is a.
It's a private
courtyard. So.
To residents. That's the front, yeah.
As we're kind of thinking about this, is there any public comment on the proposal for 827 Ursuline? I don't see any public comment. Committee, what's your thinking about this?
I get the sense that you're in alignment with the staff that it seems like it something simpler would be more congruous with the building, but it's a private courtyard, and there's nothing wrong with jazzing it up.
I don't see any reason not to. I mean, if this was in the public view, and if it had any impact on the historic structure, I think we could talk about it, but this is...
It's not detrimental. Yeah. Mm-mm.
I agree.
Okay. All right.
That's just me, though. Is there any other discussion?
No.
Would you like to say something before we go to a motion?
Y'all okay with the comments on the light fixtures, including replacing the existing one?
Yes. Can we submit replacements for approval at the staff level?
Yes. Okay. Is there a motion in the matter of 827 Ursuline?
Yes, in the matter of 827 Ursuline, I move to adopt the staff report, conceptually approve the flagstone pavers and fountain with the applicant to work on final details at the staff level.
Thank you. Do I have a second for that motion?
I second.
All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Motion passes. Thanks so much. Move on to appeals and violations and ask if there's anybody here for 924 through 26 Ursuline.
Yes.
There is. Okay. Let's... Good staff report, please.
924 through 26 Ursuline is a greenway to main building and service building. Is it proposed to address or obtain deviations from approved plans for the renovated main building? Your application for material received November 6, 2025. This application concerns the main building only and was last before April 22, 2025 architecture review meeting. The majority of the deviations from the approved plans were resolved. The items that remained unresolved were a revised proposal for the wood panel in the dormer and the third rear door at the landing. In addition to these two unresolved items, a new proposal has been added to install wood guardrails at the second floor French doors. The approved renovation plan showed new arched top windows being installed in the dormers. During inspections of the work prior to the April 22nd meeting, staff found that square top windows have been installed, but the arches above these windows opened up. The applicant previously expressed an intention to install fixed glass in the space above the windows. At the April 22nd meeting, the committee suggested that a solid panel may be an acceptable treatment for the top of this dormer. The submitted materials show that a slightly recessed but otherwise flat panel has been installed in the arch opening. Staff finds this flat panel to be along the lines of what was recommended by the committee and notes that this leaves the possibility of installing arch top windows in these dormers at some point in the future. Staff note the applicant following the April 22nd Architecture Committee meeting and suggested that a potential alternative to the four-panel door that was originally approved in this location may be a similar four-panel door with the top panels replaced with glass. The materials submitted by the applicant for this meeting show that a door with glass upper panels has been installed in this location. The new door appears to be similar in proportion compared to the door that was in this location prior to the renovation, with a notable change of the glass in the upper panels. Although this work was completed without permit issuance, staff finds this revised door design approvable, provided that the door is painted. The new aspect of the proposal is in regard to the second floor French doors and the side elevation. The approved plan showed these doors in place with no guardrails or other fall prevention. The applicant is proposing to install new wood guardrails matching design to the new railing design proposed for the rear building. Staff finds this guardrail design to be in line with the railing originally approved for this project. Prior to the renovation, a simple metal guardrail was set within the jamb. Staff finds the proposed wood guardrail design to be approvable. In summary, staff finds the revised proposal for the main building to be approvable and recommends approval of the proposal with any final details to be worked out at the staff level.
Great, thank you. Would you like to state your name, address, and relationship to the property, please?
Yes, Troy Henry, 281 Oakmont Drive, New Orleans.
And you're the owner of the building?
Huh?
You're the owner of the building?
Yes, I'm sorry.
And you, sir?
Marty Dismal.
My contract. Okay. Committee, questions for the applicant?
We apologize for how bad it was before. So
well, this is an improvement. No, this is better.
We got a new contract, as you can see. So
it's an improvement. Thank you.
Thank you.
I do have one question while that picture's up there, if you don't mind. They show in shutters on that window right there, but it's going to interfere with that door if we open it up. And that's the only shutters they show on the back of the house. On the
front. Where's the drawing? Is it further?
It's the one adjacent to
Right there.
Yep.
I believe that was proposed like that because isn't there a bathroom right behind that window?
Yes, there is.
What are we the idea was just to have a bathroom
closed.
Are we seeing...
What
are we seeing?
Put a blind... Yes, that's a good idea.
It's that window...
Yeah.
That window right there.
Yes.
Yeah, just so in other words, the shutters would be mentioned.
Thank you.
And that drawing shows the batten, the reversed batten.
It does.
Which is pretty strange.
Yeah, it does. It shows
the batten's on the outside. Mm. Which we wouldn't want to see.
Yeah, I think I had a note on the plans that it was just for clarity and that it's supposed to be on the outside.
Okay. Committee.
This is the current door, right?
Yes.
Okay. Correct. And just to be clear, Mr. Henry, all this wood is going to have to be painted.
If
we're
allowed to.
Yeah. Absolutely. It just has to be the trim color. Yeah.
Okay. So
yeah.
White.
Yeah. We can discuss that later.
So while we're thinking about this, we could ask if there's any public comment. I see no public comment. Committee, any questions for the applicant or for the staff?
Does this have to go to the full commission?
No.
So what I would say is the solution that we came up with for the dormer windows, I think actually kind of works. It opens up the possibility of those windows being restored at some point in the future. But I, can we get?
Yep.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Now, is there a trim detail?
Yes, in the inside of the setback.
Oh, that's an inset.
Yes, they have a trim detail going.
And right. The window is inset as well. That's not a proud detail.
Correct.
Okay. The staff has reviewed this. Okay. Committee. Any questions?
Yeah, I guess the thing I'm getting hung up on is the dormer, because it's not what we would approve up front. It's not what we did approve up front. And we're kind of negotiating this detail, which I'm comfortable with, the same, just as Rick is, but it is kind of on the basis of hardship that, it was done, so we're...
And I think it needs to be, you know, documented in the permitting file that this was... this situation, and you know, when like can be, you know, it should be improved when the windows are replaced in the future.
Yeah.
So this preserves a historic element of the dormers, although it's unusual.
Yeah.
And let's keep in mind.
Right.
Yeah. Where we were. Let's keep in mind where we were.
That's a big step forward.
Yeah.
Thank you. Okay, is there a motion in the matter of 924-26 Ursuline?
Yes, in the matter of 924-26 Ursulines, I move to approve the three retrofitted items we've looked at today.
Is there a second for that motion?
I second.
All in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Motion passes. Thanks so much. And
we have the next one.
Oh, yes. You have the next one. Okay. 924-26 Ursuline. We have an applicant present. Can we have the staff report, please?
So this proposal to address or retain deviations from the approved plans for the renovated rear building. Our application and materials received November 6, 2025. This application concerns the rear building only and was last before the Architecture Committee at the April 22nd meeting. The committee deferred the application. Primary remaining concern with the rear building were the numerous changes to the balcony and the doors. The new submittal for the from the applicant shows the new French doors have been installed in the openings in the rear building. Although French doors were shown in the approved plans for this rear building, staff notes that the now installed doors appear to be somewhat atypically proportioned. The bottom panel and lower rails appear to be atypically tall, making the door appear somewhat high-waisted. Additionally, the doors will need to be painted. The applicant has provided new images of the proposed replacement balcony guardrail, which staff found consistent with originally approved plans and approvable. As a reminder, the approved plans noted for the existing historic columns of the rear building to be repaired. Instead, the columns were removed, the balcony was reconstructed and slightly deepened, and new railing height posts were installed. Previously, the applicant noted that they would have been a walkway width of less than 24 inches with the columns in their historic locations, so they chose to completely remove the historic 10x8 columns and install new 6x6 rail posts for egress purposes. Since the April 22nd meeting, the applicant has been able to provide additional documentation regarding this condition, including having the plumb bob drop to show where a post would sit compared to the existing balcony overhang. The distance from the building wall to the string is shown at about 33 inches. Staff questions that the previously existing posts were truly 10x8, as shown in the original plans. A column with dimensions of 4x6 may be an appropriate alternative. If a 4x6 post were to be installed in this location, indicated by the plumb bob, usable balcony width would be reduced to approximately 29.5 inches. Although the VCC would ultimately defer to the building department in terms of egress requirements, staff does not believe there would be any issue with the balcony width of 29.5 inches. This balcony serves only a single studio apartment, with a primary entrance to the apartment found at the top of the exterior stairs. Staff notes that as this balcony has been extended during the previous renovation work, if posts were to be installed in the locations indicated by the plumb bob, there will be an atypical amount of balcony decking left outside the guardrails and columns. Still, staff finds the previously existing columns to be a very important feature of this green-grade rear building, and a restoration of these elements may be necessary. In summary, staff questions the proportions of the now installed French doors of the rear building, although they may be approvable provided they are painted. Staff still finds the removal of the rear building balcony columns to be inappropriate. Staff requests commentary from the architecture committee regarding the proposal.
Thank you. Would you like to make a presentation or a response to the staff report?
I'm going to have a presentation with the exception of, I'll just differ in one element of the report on the egress width. If you'll note, with the shutters and the protrusion of the frame of the windows, it would also kind of tighten. It won't be 29 inches because it sort of tightens. It sticks out some with the shutters.
I think because it's a single unit,
yes.
And the main egress opens directly to the stairs, the rest of the balcony. I mean, I'm not your architect, but okay. I don't think the egress width for the balcony is the issue there.
It's certainly not a rationale for the change.
Right. Like it's good to have, but I don't think that's a requirement.
Not even close.
So, let me make sure. What are the sort of still the challenges are? You said you don't like the doors, the French doors. These are the replacement French doors.
Well, they're not the same as the drawings.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What's different? No, I think they're the same.
Okay. Staff review shop drawings for these French doors.
We had these from the improved plans originally.
Which are dimensions?
Yeah. And do we have pictures of the?
Yeah, that's what we have. I don't
know.
But they're not even
close.
This
is not the same as what's the measurements are off.
Yeah, there's a lot of differences in these two doors.
Wait, the differences are, those are both the same door.
This door, what he's saying is this door does not match that drawing. The
proportions are different.
Yeah.
So, yeah, go back. See this element.
The panel.
Here.
It's much shorter.
Versus.
It's the height of the lock rail.
Yeah.
That is very different there.
You see how tall that one is?
It looks like they've added
a panel, yeah.
Panel to make them fit.
Make the height, yeah.
Yeah, which kind of throw. That's why the report says they're high waisted, because typically this would not be as high as it was, and it looks like these were old doors that were made to fit the open.
That's not the original doors.
Right. No, I know. But I'm saying that these doors look like they would have been this high, and to fit the opening, this panel had to be added, which made them high-waisted.
Yes.
So that's the difference.
These were all new doors.
Yeah.
Right. It was our architect did a lot of new stuff.
Well, but I mean, you understand what the problem is.
No.
The problem is that you got approval for one thing, then you installed something which was entirely different.
It's also the
height of the panel, the whole shape of the door is entirely different. I mean, I think if we looked at it closely, we'd find out that the astragal is different, the panel profile is different, everything's different. It's not you installed something that is not even close to what was approved, which is kind of the whole nature of this discussion about both the front building and the rear building. The idea is
we had a single door.
That's not the question.
Okay.
You got approval for a door of a certain size, shape, and configuration, and installed one of entirely different size, shape, and configuration. And I think that in all the discussions we've had about this property, that's the nature of what we're talking about, is that you get approval for one thing, and then you install something entirely different. And we've given you a great deal of latitude on the front building, and it's approved things that are not easily understood from a historic context, largely because you had an altered condition. Here you had the opportunity to do it right the first time. And you also had a lot of discussion beforehand about why it should be done. Now, the point here is, if your mill person, if your architect, your contractor, or you had come to the staff and said, this is what we want to install, the one that you actually did install, they would have been able to give you feedback about why or why not that was approvable. But you're put us into a position where we have an approved design and a door that doesn't match that at all.
We sent pictures.
Can we go back to the drawn elevation, please?
I wonder if the opening is
changed.
The opening seems to be a different proportion
entirely.
It does.
The drawing. And so
the drawing, the actual looks much narrower.
Yeah, it's like your architect drew one thing, but it doesn't necessarily represent the true condition of the wall. And so when we ended up in the real world, this door
didn't fit,
and so a change was made.
But it doesn't have anything to do with the vertical proportion of the door. Anyway.
Well, it seems like the
there's
vertical
a lot of things different.
The
but again, different. This comes down to communication. You know, when you find something that your architect did, and either in good faith or because he made a mistake, and you find that it's different, the thing to do is communicate with the staff.
This is what we sent in.
As an installed door.
Before it was installed.
Did you approve shop drawings for this that reflected this?
No, I didn't think I saw these doors until last week.
I mean, did you submit shop drawings?
No, those have been there for a while.
No, that's not the question. The question is, did you submit shop drawings for approval by the recurring staff?
No, I think they just sent a picture of the door from the antique bank door place.
Can you approve that?
I haven't seen it.
No. So, I mean, again, I...
These are salvaged doors that have been
correct.
Retrofitted to fit into the opening.
Or they're new doors that have been hacked on in order to fit the opening. This is not...
Yeah. I don't know. You think the problem is it looks superficially to be similar to what was approved?
Only because it has three lights in each
door. Right, it's three lights above with one panel below, but the proportions are completely different.
That's why they added these.
And that's why the astral is different, the panel is different.
All the rails are different. The size of the mullion is different. I mean, this is just not the same door that you got approval for. And then we move on to this matter of columns or no columns. That's still on the table, isn't it?
Yes.
Yeah. I mean, I don't think you've really presented any architectural reason why you shouldn't do this exactly as it was drawn.
The only thing was the egress. Is that what you're
But the egress, I don't think is... I mean, I would ask you for some kind of documentation that you don't have an egress component out of that door to the left of the elevation immediately adjacent to the stair. If you look at the elevation here, you have a means of egress in that left door, which is adjacent to the stair. As Ms. Stewart pointed out, that's your egress component. There's no obstruction of that egress. And then as we look closely at this elevation, the guardrail should not be running in front of the columns. I mean, this is, you just need to work through this.
But this was the approved plan, right?
Those are not approved. Are there approved plans?
Yeah.
So we approved the guardrail running proud?
I don't think we was going to do that anyway.
We're going to do that, but
I see.
And the other thing is, when we look at the detail for the guardrail itself, you're showing the bottom rail resting on the deck and the rail at 36. We should have a space beneath the bottom rail of that guardrail.
4 inches, yes, sir.
Well, but that's not the way the detail is drawn. So, I mean, I think, see, that's the detail up there.
Yeah.
There it is.
Mm. No, that's for sure. That's resting on the deck.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
So you want us to rip out all the doors? And
I'm not saying anything right now. We're talking about it.
I'm just trying to understand.
But the thing is, you've asked us a lot for forbearance for various reasons, and we've kind of put a lot of this off so you could kind of clarify your position. But I don't find any architectural merit of this. There may be some hardship involved, but that's not what we're talking about today.
Can we talk about the soffit as well?
That's gone. It's
and the gutter,
yeah.
The
gutter's
gone.
Gutter's gone.
Every gutter's gone. Soffit is still.
So as we're student, is there any public comment on this proposal for retention? I don't see any public comment. Committee. Questions for the applicant or for the staff? I think we need to get this right.
Agreed. Yeah, and I think if there's a hardship in removing and replacing it, then that can only be addressed at the full commission level. We can only talk about the architecture and whether or not it meets the guidelines. And
when you say removing it, you're talking about the columns or you're talking about the doors?
Just about everything. All of everything.
Yeah, the guardrail, the dual posts, and the French doors is what we're talking about, right?
But the replacement railing hasn't been installed.
It hasn't been installed.
That's good. So you can do that right.
Right. It's not installed. So we can work with you on that detail.
We have all approved.
No, let's not.
But wait. While we're talking about the guardrail, so there are a couple of things that we can help you tweak on the design of the guardrail. Since it hasn't been installed yet. So that's not a hardship. Yeah, that's just,
okay. Right. We're going to follow this, but not do anything. So.
We can help with that for sure.
But what we needed to know is does the guardrail or the handrail go into a column?
Right, and they're going to decide.
And shift everything in.
Correct. And I think the point of it is because that egress width is not a requirement, that the columns could work. We can help you with the details.
And that would mean that the gallery would go back to its original dimension, not the extended dimension.
Well,
it's kind of cheated out.
The deck would stay where it is, but the rail and the columns
set
would
back.
Be set back somewhere.
So they'd be plumb with the top and above.
Correct.
Okay, committee.
And the feature of the column would then look like square?
It'd be rectangular. Yeah. And we'll work those details out.
Has this gone to the fire marshal yet? Do you know?
No.
Not yet?
Surely.
What?
Sure. Yeah. I mean, usually the fire marshal reviews before construction starts, before you can get a permit.
Well, the initial one. Yeah.
Yeah.
But there's got to be another one. Right?
A final inspection.
Final.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Yeah.
I thought that's what you were talking about.
No, but you do have fire marshal approval.
Yeah, that was how we got the permit.
Yeah.
Okay, committee, what's your pleasure?
Staff, do y'all need drawings to review?
Well, I think that we can work. The handrail detail is something that we can absolutely work with.
Yeah.
And we need to have dimensions of where the columns will be in relation to the edge of the balcony decking, so it lines up with the overhang above. So, you know, that's just, I think it's a matter of dimension.
Right.
I don't know that we need extensive drawings, but we need to make sure that that's documented. So, but I don't think that's a big deal. So we're all on the same page.
We don't have columns.
The blue tape represents a column.
Right, so we'll just need to have updated to where that's dimensioned and all that.
Okay, committee. Can we go to would you like to say anything before we go to a motion?
No, I just want to say we appreciate y'all's effort.
Yeah.
Okay.
The team especially has been working with us. We bought a mess and we're trying to turn it into something very positive.
Absolutely.
I do have one more question.
December makes year three, so I mean it's the challenge.
Can you go to the front of the house on the street? I just want to ask somebody before I fill that crap.
Actually, that's something you can talk to the staff about.
Yeah, I agree.
Okay, we don't need to. Line. That's not really what we're reviewing today.
So, as far as any other comments, I'm going to await your guidance. I appreciate y'all. You know, you guys have been working for it. We're doing our best, I'll be honest with you.
I appreciate that. Is there a motion in the matter of 926 Ursuline?
Yes, the matter of 926 Ursulines rear building. I move to defer to allow the applicant time to work with the staff to revise the proposal.
Thank you. Is there a second for that motion?
I second.
All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Motion passes. You got deferred.
We got deferred.
So we can kind of work out the details. And if everything works out at the staff level, then you won't have to come back to talk to us.
Okay.
If you can't figure it out, then we'll have to talk again.
Yeah.
Thank you for coming in today.
Thank you very much.
Next item is 714 Orleans Avenue, Street. Do we have an applicant present? We do. Could we have a staff report, please?
Our 714 Orleans is a blue-rated main building and service zone. This is a proposal to perform structural masonry repairs and modify work completed without permit of BCC benefit of BCC reviewed approval, including millwork mechanical equipment per application materials received August 4, 2025 and October 24, 2025, respectively. Staff met with the applicant on site at the committee's request, and most of the violations can now be abated at staff level. The following items require committee review. Structural. When last reviewed, some questions arose regarding the engineer's report and proposed repairs, provided again here. Structural drawings show corner ties installed in the mortar joint every four courses where the wall turns to meet the adjacent property. Additionally, details call for Simpson Hela ties to be drilled and grout injected for manufacturer specifications. Staff notes that drilled and injected ties are rarely found to be approvable by the committee as they are destructive and do not allow for masonry reconstruction. The mortar specified by the manufacturer is also much harder than the BCC mortar. In rare occasions where drilling and grout injection is approved, the committee has required the use of BCC mortar. HVAC, the applicant is now proposing to relocate the rooftop condenser to be closer to the main building roof and dormer access. A new mechanical rail will be installed immediately surrounding the unit. Given the limited visibility and small rooftop footprint, staff has no objection to retention. The current HVAC platform in the courtyard slash light well is raised to compensate for limited airflow in the tight outdoor space. The applicant is proposing to modify the platform so it is freestanding instead of being attached to three blue-rated walls. Staff finds the proposed HVAC retentions conceptually provable with the proposed alterations.
Great, thank you. Could you state your name and address in relation to the property, please?
Lacey Watrin, Project Architect, 35 Bullet Street.
John Lambertson, Crew Engineer.
Okay. Do you have a presentation or response to the staff report you'd like to share with us?
We just want to thank Aaron for meeting with us on site. I think we got a lot done. It sounds like we just have a few last things that we need to work out.
Okay. So let's talk about the structural thing.
Yep, I believe I spoke to Aaron several weeks ago. We really have two options that we can repair this the way we're proposing, which is the least intrusive, or we could put a steel angle that goes from where the brick is not separating down to where it's not separating and bolt it in that way. But it would be a steel, exposed steel angle.
Not gonna do that.
Yeah, that's why we picked this one.
And this location is on the
on
rear side, right there. Okay. And what is the nature of the failure that you're correcting?
The brick is structural brick, as you know, and it's falling away from the structure. The structural brick is failing.
This way?
Yeah. You can see where we have that box around in the picture. There's a gap. That is significant up there.
Oh, there you go.
Yep, I believe Noah was actually the first one to go up there and spot this.
Tony had cited it a few years before, too. Yeah, it's very obvious.
I believe Noah was the one that reached out to us and then
so
he went out there.
That's a cold joint. It's a cold joint between those two?
No, that was unfortunately, that's not a cold joint.
So it's actually broken?
Yeah, it's literally falling away from that brick wall.
That's spectacular.
Yeah. Probably
that's
due
a word
to,
for it.
Yeah. You can see they tried to do some stuff with that steel member on the left there, it looks like.
Oh, here.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So it looks like that's been just some time of degradation and then, I'm sure, pretty strong winds just moving it.
Are these the same lots of record? the two
pieces? No.
So your property is the one to the right?
This guy.
Oh, to the left.
Yeah, correct. Yeah. They're this guy.
And yours, and yours is the one that's moving. It's not the other one.
So we got a survey, and we the property line runs down the middle of that wall.
Right. And so the inset wall is entirely on the neighbor's property with some... Yeah,
from a structural aspect, it's hard to gauge whose wall is taller because they're all built in one, right? They're all built in a single structure, so it's hard to gauge whose is failing. But we came up with a remedy for the our client's side of the property, which would be anchor injections.
And as an engineer, how do you respond to the requirement that a softer mortar be used for the injection?
I mean, so I really need a mechanical connection. Mortar up there would just add to the weight, and I mean, now we're dependent on the adhesiveness of the mortar. That's not a structural
connection. No, I'm saying in addition to the ties, the nature of the grout would be a low compression rather than a high compression grout.
So if you look at our plans on S1.0, we call this page right here on the right. So we call for the grout, the VCC grout.
The older drawing had been manufacturer specs, and that was what had been reviewed before that we had questions
We updated it to call for the VCC mortar.
Okay.
Yeah. That's going to go over the injections or filling, if you will.
And then the other thing we're talking about today is the HVAC platform, and I think that meets all of your expectations. So, okay, do we have any public comment on this proposal? I see no public comment. Committee, any questions for the applicant or the staff about the proposal?
This helotie detail calls for the helotile to be drilled.
Yes.
Is it actually drilled, or is it laid into the mortar joint?
I mean, you got to drill out the mortar joint in order to get the tie in. Yeah.
Okay, but we're not drilling through the brick. We're just laying it into
through
the mortar.
No, through the mortar specifically.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
And that's why we didn't come up with precise elevations and angles. You'll see a lot of field determined for mortar mortar joint location.
So just as a matter of curiosity, will you remove that band of metal on the outside? Is it working at all?
It's not part of the plans, but I don't know where that, see those anchors in there? I don't know where those are at. And then again, when we take them out, it looks like they're going through the brick and not the mortar joints.
Yeah.
So that could create some problems with water intrusion and such. I mean...
Well, you could repair that. I'm just worried about, you know, more penetrations, expanding bolts, and all that kind of stuff. If you can get that off the building, and if your solution actually addresses the problem, there's no reason for that to stay.
That's fair, yeah. Again, we assess structures as they come in, not what we, you know. So, again, you know, I didn't really do any analysis on that, not that I even could. You don't know where it goes, but... Yeah, I can look into taking it. I don't see any problems with that. Again, you will be left with holes in the bricks and such.
Which your architectural will repair.
I'm sorry?
You'll repair those holes.
Yeah,
we're going to have scaffolding, a crew up there. I mean, I don't see why.
You wouldn't do that.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
So we just fill them in with the same VCC approved mortar, fill in the holes?
Bricks, yeah. Okay, committee.
I have a quick question.
Good.
Okay. So normally, and we see a lot of typical details for this. Normally what we've been seeing is either the horizontal ties laid in the joint and kind of the mortar reinstalled, or we end up seeing the drilled and grout injection. Normally when we see the option that is drilled and grout injected, it's done at all the different angles and it actually goes through the brick. This is the first one I can think of where we've seen it laid in the mortar joint, but it's still calling for it being grout injected. Do those ties since they're being drilled into the mortar joint and they're being injected, are they larger or, you know, what's the difference there? Because it's just different than what we've been seeing.
So you're correct in how we would normally do those epoxy injection or anchor injections. We did this with you guys, obviously, in mind to keep them in the mortar joints. So this was, again, this was the most visually pleasing way that we could do this without having, like you pointed out, all the injection points from all the different angles. Obviously, that would be ideal, but that's probably why we have a little more steel than what you ordinarily be used to.
Okay, so it's kind of a hybrid approach.
More or less.
I think that
I don't want to come to this meeting without having considered those options.
I think that kind of gets to my question is, it's not really going to be drilled. The mortar is going to be raked out. It's going to be raked. And then this thing is going to be gently inserted.
Yeah.
And then it's not going to be injected with like a, I don't even know what they use typically, but it's going to be packed.
That's right. Well, at the corners, I believe they are going to go through into the back brick. So they're going to connect them at the corners to the brick behind to keep it from falling away. And then, yeah, those bars will be mid-span to support.
But is it going to be raked out, or is it going to be grilled?
Yeah, they will need to rake out some of the grout in order to put the steel in there and then put the grout back in, yeah.
Will there be a drill?
Yes, there will be drills.
I know, only limited locations, or...
I can't tell
where the drill is needed.
So, y'all, we're doing raking and drilling. They're going to have to rake some of the grout out in order to stick the bars in, and they're going to be drilling the epoxy anchors. So both of you are correct.
Where are the epoxy anchors then?
So a good one is the longer ones are going to be your Simpson Haley tie epoxy injected. Those are going to be the drilled.
Okay.
Yeah. And then the corner ties are just going to be your steel.
And they're being drilled from the inside?
No, so if you go to the picture, they're going to have to drill it from, if you go to the picture, yeah.
The other side.
There you go. Right there, that side.
Yeah, you got to go on that side of the wall.
This from our side facing in, and then, of course, they'll be going in, sticking in the bar on this side.
Not to get into your business, but when you do this, I would really love to be on site for a minute. I'd like to see, I've never seen how this is done.
Okay.
And I think that we get more and more of this, and I think it would be very highly educational for me, personally, if I could just be on site for a minute and see how you do it.
Yeah, of course.
Won't get in your way, won't tell you. No, you'd like to see it.
That's fine, yeah.
So I heard the word epoxy also. So
yes,
there's more, that's another anchors. That's another material.
That's epoxy anchors, yes.
Yeah, so is that epoxy...
That's the
going
injection.
To damage the brick at all? Is it so hard that it won't allow the brick to move, or is that epoxy a flexible kind of material?
Yeah, epoxy by its nature is not flexible. It's stronger than concrete. It's a high compressive material. So that I believe was pointed out in the staff report. You won't be able to rebuild that section of the brick, right? It's going to be stronger than the brick, so you'd actually have to demo that wall to get it out. So yeah, it would hold up real tight. And then you cover the injections with the BCC in order. That's it.
Okay. So.
All right.
Yeah. I mean, this is the best we came up with. I'm open to suggestions. We're working on the black magics of having this stuff just stand by itself. We haven't got there yet.
Yes, I think that gets to something Rick often brings up is just the hardness of that epoxy injected grout is prevents the building from moving. I guess it turns the whole thing into one big unified punk and makes it hard to...
Wait, one more time. The epoxy... So I agree the epoxy is harder than the brick and the mortar, all of it combined. But it's going to create a bulge in the brick, or what are we saying?
No, it will create a moment where things that are softer around it and things that will... There'll be a crack line... possibly forming between the hard stuff and the soft stuff.
As the soft stuff naturally moves.
As it makes sense. Well, so because it's so high in the wall, I mean, it would all settle at the same rate. In terms of like spalls and things like that, I don't believe epoxy has a higher rate for spalling concrete because it sticks, the mortar sticks to the epoxy really well. So, I mean, the only situation I could see where that would be an issue is if there's some kind of adherence problem with the mortar and the epoxy where it pops out or the spalling. But I can't think of any other, I don't know, cracking around. But I don't see, I've never seen that.
Would it be possible to get a section that shows the ties and really get more of an idea of where we will see the, not see, but where the epoxy will be in relation to the mortar and in relation to the ties within the wall?
For instance, a plan view.
Yes.
Would help.
Yeah.
That's, plan, that is
the, that's down the here. West
is that a, that's a plan
yeah,
view?
Yeah. That's a
section A.
Well, no, that's a section of that top elevation.
They're both just a little bit diagrammatic and kind of getting an idea of...
I mean, so the only way you can actually see what these anchors look like embedded would be, I guess, in the specs of the anchor. You could, or I could, Google the Healy tie that we call out here, and then you could see the application process. There's no way to really draw that.
That's why I really want to see it. I've never seen it on the side.
But in relation to the mortar, it will be in the mortar joint itself, and obviously the mortar
here is
the
really
last material
as he says it is
said repaired. I haven't had any issues where the mortar falls off.
Except that he's
using
his healing
dye
to arrest that development.
And it settles.
I think he's more about distilling materials to settle.
Yeah, well, they're so high up the wall that the settlement would occur.
So that vertical one,
the one that sees is
planned vertical, would actually be inset in
very rigid,
more than
surrounded by material that is not, then there's going to be, at some point,
and
that
it's
express.
Just 10 inches.
And our motion
is,
so we're like, with steel and wood, I would agree with you because of the thermal expansion in the materials are so different. But with epoxy and cement and mortar, that rarely, it doesn't happen. Because the epoxy sticks like glue to the mortar, it becomes part of the system. And I mean, that whole wall will come down before that epoxy comes out or anything breaks around.
And we don't have to worry about the epoxy preventing the bricks from being able to expand and contract and then causing the bricks to crack.
Again, the expansion and contraction of the bricks would itself cause them to crack. Because they're plastic, they're not elastic.
It seems like the benefit of this in a sort of an emergency situation,
right,
outweigh, in my mind, and I'm looking to you guys to what do you think? The emergency situation of this condition being solved by this technology is more immediate than if there is this condition down the road where we end up with some differential settlement, which could cause a crack. This seems like this is going to work. That might happen. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I think in the extreme conditions, we have to do what's necessary to retain the structure.
Right.
Bottom line.
Not to not address your statement, but why is this wall moving in the first place?
Oh, yeah, so deterioration from age and likely some high winds.
Really?
Yeah, I would say so. Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, it could be some settlement issues, differential settlement inside the structure itself, like where the underlying soil. You see it a lot when they do road work in the city of New Orleans. People's front porch starts sinking and their house is okay.
Yeah.
So it's just, what happens is the friction on the piles gets lost through vibrations, and that makes the piles
settle.
And
so your solution as you see it, it doesn't address whatever caused this initial motion, it just addresses what happened as a result.
Yeah.
Do you anticipate that the wall will continue to move in its more fundamental parts?
If
it is differential settlement,
then
this rigid thing up here is going to kind of stay where it is and everything else is going to keep coming down.
So our solution, we're pinning the wall back to itself, essentially. To get the underlying condition, it's in the soil, you know what I mean? Like I just said, if the way that these settlements typically have, and that's why I use the streets in New Orleans as an example. When they work on the streets and people's front porch starts to settle, but the house doesn't settle, so now you have the big separation in the two. Mm-hmm. What generally happens is the vibrations from the streets moving from the road work makes those piles lose their friction, and that's why those piles settle farther than the piles on the house because they're closer to the vibrations. So there's no way to address that underlying issue when the piles slip their skin friction and find their new settling point. All you can hope is that's where it stops settling, and then if it doesn't, you come back and address it. There's shoring methods and all those that get really invasive where you do push piles and such, but that is
no.
beyond the realm of what we'd be considering for something like this.
So, in your opinion, this is like perhaps the least thing you could do to address the motion of the wall.
Well, again, there's nothing we could really do to address any settlement that.
No, but for right now, what's happened?
Yeah.
This is your smallest intervention.
Oh yeah, the least invasive. Yeah, absolutely. And again, from what I understand, I thought Noah found this about a year ago. But from what I understand, there's documentation of this from several years. Mm-hmm. So it's likely that if that's the case, then we've reached our settling point. Yeah. So when we pin it back, again, notwithstanding any road work in front of that building on Orleans or behind it, it's kind of on the side, or any you know, 200-mile-an-hour hurricanes like Ida was, we'll be fine.
Okay. Committee, are you ready for a motion, or...?
Yes, just as soon as I ask this question.
Yeah.
Are these bricks in the corner going to be replaced, the ones that have been sheared? Is it all going to be kind of toothed back in when we do this work?
Yeah, so the tuck point would be part of this project. Obviously, if we're going to replace and do the mortar, we would have to do said bricks as well. You can't really stick the bricks back together, so yeah, we'd recommend that they remove and replace.
Yeah, good. Okay, that's good. That sounds good.
Okay. Would you like to add anything before we go to the motion?
I don't think I have any more questions. I'm happy to answer.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And we've asked for public comment. So I'm going to say, is there a motion in the matter of 714 Orleans Avenue?
Yes, the matter of 714 Orleans Avenue. I move to conceptually approve the proposed structural intervention and HVAC platform modifications with the proviso that the project team invite the director and the staff to the site to observe the repair work for their own edification. I think that's it.
I second.
All in favor say aye.
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 Motion passes. And I think what we'll note here is that we're making these judgments based on architectural merit and not structural. So this is it's all on you.
Yeah.
Okay. Next item is
very educational. Thank you.
Oh yeah, no problem. Yeah. I'll see if I can meet y'all out there in the
Thank
field.
Thank you so much.
See if we can figure all this stuff out.
Thank you.
Y'all good.
Next item is 1141 Royal Street. Do we have a present? We do. Okay. Could we have the staff report?
Sure. 1141 Royal Street is a green-rated main building with a brown-rated kitchen addition. This is a proposed temporary routine modifications to the ground floor millwork that were completed without benefit BCC review approval. Fabrication materials received August 15th and October 14th, 2025, respectively. The uncommitted work occurred in the second bay on the ground floor of the upper Nichols elevation of the building. Work included the removal of previously existing French doors and the installation of a solid four-panel door with narrow side lights and a short transom of it. Staff identified and cited this work as a violation earlier this year. The applicant is proposing to retain the work related to this door opening on a temporary basis and send the staff an email summarized below. The current arrangement was installed due to concerns for privacy and security. Due to those issues, in addition to passing ghost tours and early morning patrons at the Birdie Mart across the street, this property has not been the desirable seasonal home that was expected. The owners intend to sell the property at the earliest economic opportunity. Until the unit is sold, it would only be occupied for 1 month in late spring and 1 month between mid-November and Christmas each year, with occasional use by friends and family. The shutters would remain closed when the unit is not occupied, as well as at night when it is occupied. The applicant votes to retain the door for a time period of 5 years or until the property is sold, whichever occurs first. The applicant is willing to enter into an agreement with the HOA and manager for the HOA, including depositing funds in escrow, in order to install appropriate doors consistent with this timeline. In conjunction with the proposed temporary retention, the applicant proposes to replace the atypical louver seen in the fan light above this opening, as well as in the fan light of the adjacent opening, with a barred treatment, as seen in all other fan lights of this building. The louvers are not in violation and appear to have been in place since approximately the 1970s. The staff suggested that they are atypical and that the more common bar treatment would allow for more light into the space. A photo from 1963 shows that these fan lights previously matched the adjacent ones with bars. Staff finds the proposed works for the fan lights being subject to approval, although details would need to be finalized prior to permitting. Regarding the proposed temporary retentions have been approved previously, but staff finds a 5-year window to be much too long. If any temporary retentions are allowed, staff recommends that it not exceed 12 months, at which time the situation could be revisited. The current door goes against several VCC guidelines, with the guidelines stating that the VCC does not allow installing an inappropriate door type, i.e. a single door with a formal double door location, or decreasing a door size or shape with infill to allow for installation of a stock door size. Staff request commentary from the Architecture Committee regarding the concept of a temporary retention.
Thank you. Would you like to state your name and address and relationship to the property?
My name is David Hughes. I'm the owner of the subject property at 1141 Royal, Unit A.
Do you have a response to the staff report or a presentation you'd like to make to us?
First of all, thank you for your time. I spent as much time as Nick would allow me trying to reach an accommodation on this. Without going into too great a detail as to the need for this, we're new residents of the quarter. Our first occupancy was just before French Quarter Fest this past spring. We occupied the parcel for 3 days, and in those 3 days, to the extent that the shutters were open, I had 4 people enter my apartment through the old doors. I had countless people essentially with their face to the glass trying to see what was inside. It's a very effective architectural treatment, these doors, because they are a commercial facing structure made for a gallery, for a shop, and clearly that's what people expect when they see a door like that, and they take every advantage to opportunity to have a look inside my unit. My unit is a fishbowl. I have 4 of those units, 2 on this side, 2 on the Royal Street side. The other 3 shutters will frankly never open because all that's in there is 2 12 by 16 rooms, one of which is a master bedroom. You can see clear through. It's a shotgun setup. You can see clear through that entry door system straight into my master bedroom. And it's not an optimal setup for a residential property. This is a subdivision of the entire building. As you can see, if you look far down to the right, you can see the original entry door to this property, the original residential side of the entry door. The rest of the property, the 6 openings that you see, are part of what used to be a complete gallery, a commercial gallery. There's no contention with staff's architectural explanation to me of the original purpose of this as a commercial property, but in its subdivision, those 4 units, there is no other external entry to this property. In a review or a survey of the properties within, say, 4 or 5 blocks of me on Royal and Charters, there are exactly 2 other properties that have this same setup where they do not have a previously designed exterior entry where they're dependent on just the street-facing gallery windows. And in both of those cases, 1117 Royal, and more particularly 828 Charters, an accommodation has been made for one of those windows or window sets or French door sets to have been removed and otherwise replaced with a single door entry. It's particularly well done on 828. I wish I had passed my phone around to you and showed you a picture. I apologize for not having a presentation that shows that unit today. But 828 Charters has 3 of these exact same windows in a distinct facing front that has no other external entry to its building. It was clearly a commercial property at one point and has been converted to a residential. And in that case, one of the 3 arched windows has been replaced with a very attractive, single, structurally significant and privacy permitting entry door. They've actually removed their hurricane shutters, which I would never propose to do. We are temporary residents. We are in for a month in the spring for French Quarter Fest. We're in for a month in the fall for Réveillon and Christmas. We intend to get a more substantial property, a little more conducive to our need for privacy. This was a bit of a placeholder for us, but it sits right on the corner across from the Lollery Mansion and Verde Mart. And I get several hundred people a day standing in front of my door for the ghost tours, stretching into and exceeding the curfew at 10 p.m. And from about midnight to 2, I've got essentially an open street party going with Bertie Mart. When that street party closes at 2 or 3 o'clock and people go home, I'm left with a non-enforced vagrancy.
So
I have a need for privacy and security. This door was kicked in 3 days after I moved into the property. It was destroyed, which is, apologize for the violation, but the violation was frankly in response to kind of an emergency event to have a functional door. If I can't have an actual entry door at this property, then I'm just going to live behind a security shutter, which I don't think is optimal for you or for me. What I'm proposing is I'd like the opportunity to work with staff to see if there's not an accommodation that can, if not this one, I frankly, I'm not an architect. I really don't care what my secure entry door is as long as it provides security and privacy. This is not a complete installation, by the way. The side lights haven't been completed. I stopped work at the point of the violation. And that's a period door taken from the bank. And I'd be happy to work with staff to install any door that you guys would like. But I need a secure private door. I think anyone that occupies this property needs a secure private door.
So, okay. We've heard a lot from you. Okay, thank you for all of it. So this committee is all about architecture.
Yes.
It's not about hardships, and it's not about your decision to purchase a property that might have a high street traffic. We're talking about architecture.
I don't believe there are any architectural issues here. I accept the committee's position that this should be replaced to its original form.
There you go. So that's the only thing we can do.
I'm asking for a deferral of that time period. I'm going to put the property on the market when we complete our month here. I hope it sells quickly, but if it doesn't, I'd like to be able to occupy this property during my ownership of it for a period of time without having to make that change. So otherwise, I have to live behind the shutter.
If I may just interject here, like Rick said, this is the committee that discusses architecture. And if this committee finds the architecture problematic and denies the application, it can be forwarded to our commission where they can hear a hardship. So this is not necessarily the end of the conversation, but we have two layers of oversight here.
May I ask before you do that, would this committee be open to anything replacing this?
Well, that was what's going through
my
mind.
Question. Obviously not this, because this is not
good. Right.
It's a great question.
But would you be open to anything replacing this? Does he need to come back with an architect or a millwork or something?
Well, if you're thinking about selling it, it's a violation that goes with the property.
Yes.
And it presumably you'd want to have something that's acceptable before you sell it, because that would, it's just a ding on the property if you don't have it resolved. And I guess my question for the staff is, if there are any other examples, I looked up 828 Charters, but that was
Howie. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Yeah. Yes. Also, I live in 1140 Charters, and all of our doors are like this, all the way around.
Are like this.
Yep. And I am right across from the Ursuline Convent, so I feel your pain.
Sorry, what was the column 828 Charters?
That was an alley.
That had been an alley entrance.
Oh, so it was.
Yeah. So that's why.
It's not a historic opening.
Yeah.
I don't believe that's true. There's no alleys.
It's an internal.
It's a carriageway. It's a carriageway,
yeah.
Right?
It's
right around the corner. It was an alleyway.
We're not discussing the same property. 828 has three identical circular windows.
Yes, there's an older picture of it. It was.
Yeah.
Doesn't matter.
Yeah. Okay. So
that's not the issue.
So your offer to restore, to remove the louvers and restore them with
bars.
Iron, with bars, absolutely wonderful thing to do. Encourage you to do that. But that's an independent proposal that staff can review for its appropriateness. But I think we have to divorce the louvers and the archtop opening from what's happening down below. And as I said at the beginning, this is about architecture and about history. It's not about hardship. And so I don't.
Well, I just want to say that personally, though, I do empathize with folks who live in the French Quarter, because I think that there are plenty of things that are not architecture going on down there that make it really hard to live there. And you spoke to that, and I just want you to know that I get that. Like, that really sucks.
I'm actually in agreement with the committee on the eventual architectural treatment. I'm happy to find some form of maybe reinforced French door that can be used here. Those are 1¼-inch doors. You can push them open with a finger. They're in swinging. You cannot secure them from the outside, so they're useless as entry doors. You can only secure them from the inside with 4-point bolt systems. They're insufficient as an entry door. There may be a very similar door to that I can construct. That it's still not going to be ideal, but I'm happy to do that with guidance of staff.
So we'll,
asking the committee to do is to assert its architectural opinion, which is correct, that it be restored, but recommended deferral period.
Okay, committee. Well, first I'm going to ask if there's any public comment about this proposal. I don't see any public comment. So that leaves it to us to figure this out.
I don't object with the applicant's request. I'm just trying to think of ways forward. And I'm thinking about nightshades as a way to make a pair of French doors opaque.
I have mirrors on the inside of mine.
I don't know if that's a violation or not.
It's not attached.
It's not attached to it, yeah.
So I think the kindest thing we can do here, the absolute kindest thing we could possibly do, is to defer this so you can actually talk about fixing it. I don't see any possible way that we could give you 5 years to fix this. There's just no way. This is egregious.
Would you be...
I'm going to say it's egregious for two reasons. One is that it removed historic fabric from the building, and it's also a miserable solution for the building. I mean, it's just miserable.
Well, it's also incomplete.
That's an architectural term, by the way. Miserable, yes.
Well, also, no matter what happens, this pair of doors is not going to match anything else on the building. Because
this isn't going to match anything in the French door.
No, I'm just saying, like...
Well, that door matches the door right next to it, actually, but the...
The opening, sorry.
I take exception to that. The 828 Charters is a perfect example of a door which has been installed.
Okay, then let's defer this for 2 weeks, and you can bring in some pictures, and we can talk about your examples. And that will save you 2 weeks from a decision. Is that agreeable to everybody? Or do you want to just move ahead? I mean, we're not going to let you retain these doors.
I haven't asked you to. Yeah.
Okay.
So it will give you a couple weeks to talk with staff about an acceptable solution that meets functional and architectural requirements. If you can't come up with that, then come back and we'll talk about it some more. But
can I follow through on the question that was asked of the committee? Regarding whether or not there's anything other than the French door set that could possibly be acceptable
we
to
review
architecture.
Proposals.
Okay.
We don't design things. We are all architects. We design things all the time, but our job is not to design your problem.
Is there a single door that can replace a French door set? That
I'm
going to
call the question. Thank
I would
you.
Suggest that you speak with a design professional.
So you have a chance to either be quiet now and take a deferral, or we're going to deny it. So what is your choice?
Please move forward.
Thank you. Can I have a motion, please?
Yes, the matter of 1141 Royal, I move to defer to allow the applicant to work with staff on a revised proposal.
2 weeks.
2 weeks, yes.
Thank you.
2 weeks, same day?
Whatever the next meeting is.
Yes.
Motion's been seconded. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Motion passes. Thanks for coming in. Good luck with your solution. We have one more item, and we have an applicant present. Could we have a staff report, please?
Sure. This is under other business. This is for a proposal to install various attachment anchors to facilitate the installation of holiday lighting above Bourbon Street. Application should proceed October 22nd, 2025. This work occurs across the properties listed below, and because of the nature of the overall project, it involves several different city departments. The aspect of the project under the purview of BCC is the various attachment points for the steel cables which will support a lighting display that is to be installed for the holiday season and removed prior to Mardi Gras. The applicant has mapped out the buildings and provided engineered drawings for different attachment details with the different building materials encountered. Staff notes that the project also involves the 100 block of Bourbon Street, which is under the authority of the HDLC. Staff counted a total of 25 attachment points spread across 14 different buildings in the 200 and 300 blocks of Bourbon Street. A typical attachment is a 3/4 or a 3/8 inch eye hole anchored into whatever the wall material of the building might be. Some general concerns noted by staff are some locations appear to show the anchor points in locations behind balcony or gallery ironwork. Complying the cables attached to these anchors will need to pass through the ironwork. Staff questions how this will work and if there is a risk of the cables damaging the ironwork. Previous iterations of these plans indicated attaching the balcony or gallery to the balcony or gallery fascias at several locations. This current proposal only shows fascia attachment points at the orange-rated building at 300 Bourbon Street. Staff still has concerns about how successful the repairs would be to these decorative wood elements following the removal of the anchor holes, although staff appreciates that this attachment detail has been minimized to only one building. The repair detail shows these bolt holes being plugged with a dowel, sanded, and painted. In earlier versions of the plans, the anchors into masonry were shown as all penetrating into the bricks themselves. At staff's request, this set includes an alternative detail that anchors the bolts into the mortar joints. While the anchor into the brick consisted of just the eyeball itself, the anchor into the mortar joints includes a metal plate that includes two additional bolts, also into the mortar joint. Although the eyeballs with metal base plates will be much more visually apparent, as this is intended to be a temporary installation, staff finds that the repairs to bolt holes left in mortar joints will likely be much more successful than repairs to holes in the bricks themselves. One specific concern involves the anchor bolts for the building at 241 Bourbon Street. That property has been under major renovation over the past few years. Just last week, the architect for that project noted to the VCC staff need to immediately shore the building due to structural concerns with the Bourbon Street wall. No application for emergency shoring has been filed as of the writing of this report, but if there are, in fact, valid concerns regarding the stability of this wall, staff would be very concerned about putting additional strain on the wall with this lighting installation. Overall, as a temporary installation, staff finds the attachment point detailing somewhat heavy-handed. The general recommendation for temporary installation of decorations or similar temporary items is to use non-invasive measures such as clamps and zip ties. Staff appreciates that this installation will be suspended over the public right-of-way and that safety needs to be a top priority, top concern, possibly justifying the more intense nature of the input details. Although this has been presented to VCC staff as a temporary installation, it will be removed and repairs made following a couple months of display. Staff suggests that if there is a possibility of this display returning in future years, if it may make sense to consider these attachment bolts as a more permanent feature. Many of the attachment points are in nondescript locations, such as immediately below a balcony or gallery, and staff finds it may be a better practice to install these bolts once rather than drilling new holes each year. The display itself and all supporting cables would still need to be removed before Mardi Gras. What if the anchors themselves were to be remained and be painted to match the building surface? They would be rather discreet. Again, viewing this as a more permanent installation would be dependent on the display being successful and returning in future years. Staff recommends conceptual approval of the proposed attachment points with any details to be worked out at the staff level.
Thank you. I'd like to state your name and addresses and relationships to the property, please.
Jenny West, Studio West, Architect, 2340 Duncan Street.
Jason Richards with Studio West.
Katie Kasparian, I commissioned the project.
Great. Okay. Do you have a presentation aside from your drawings that you'd like to share
with us? Yes. I think the staff has been working very closely with us and helping us champion this through City Hall. Thank you to the VCC staff. This is an unusual project. We understand that the intention for this is that it is reinstalled annually, and that this first year is where we establish where these bolts go. I will speak to the timeline of this project and to a couple other factors on this, just so everyone knows. This project, we have been in discussions with staff for several months on this. We've had to work through DPW and another factor, which is why it's come to you. And I think we can get something that's hopefully agreeable so we can proceed with this. The goal is to get this up in the next couple weeks with everything being approved, because we are trying to get it up both for a holiday lighting installation, but it is also the one-year memorial, terrorist attack memorial, is part of this as well, which is what the parrot flags are. We have Marais as a structural engineer that's on this project. They've been reviewing it. We know that there are a number of building types. This, we have permission from all the building owners, just to note, which has been, we've explained this to everyone. They know what they're signing up for. We do understand that there is the one building that I've watched that in the last meeting. We would like to see that we could attach to that building because they are a corner building and we don't have another alternative to skip that section. But yes, open to discussion and feedback, and hoping that we can get this piece conceptually approved so that we can continue to move forward with the project.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Anything else?
I might speak really quickly just to the anchor conversation. So currently our preference would be to go with something closer to the plate anchor that we sent as a revision. So actually, Renee, if you could hover on the, like these, kind of show the two different options. So there's the load on this is basically 600 pounds of tension at each eye bolt. So it's not a ton, but it's not small either. So the engineer calculated we would need the 3/4 inch eye bolt if we were just doing a single location. And so to comply with the request to get it in the mortar joints, which we think is absolutely possible, we go down to 3/8 inch, which would allow us to just drill out the mortar bolt. That's a minimum of 2 anchors on either side and hence the point. So I just wanted to everybody understand the reasoning behind that. Right now, from the contractor installing it, that is the preference to do a plate instead of just the anchor.
And additionally, they would paint everything out, either white or black, whatever we identify for property, so that they are as minimally visible.
Or to match the building,
mm-hmm. Just to make them minimally visible for the long-term installation.
And then they would be removed after this?
They would not. We are proposing that they actually would not be removed,
okay.
That they would remain in place.
Okay.
This project probably has 30 funding partners led by Katie, a number of them public and private, and probably would be we're hoping FQ&B or another organization would take it on. They don't have the staff at this time to do it, which is why Katie is holding the first year. We feel like after we get up for the first year, there will be an entity that's public that can install it and mandates that it comes down in 60 days. We are also committed to taking this down in 60 days because there is an entity that's associated with it. So we just want to make sure that's very clear. It is temporary. The intention is not for this to stay up into the Mardi Gras season and morph over time. It will come down.
Before we start any other discussions, we have one public comment request from Gretchen Baer. Would you like to speak?
I think that one of my questions is answered because we wanted to know if they were going to be.
Could you just state your name and your association,
Gretchen,
please?
Gretchen Byers with EC Cora. I think the first one was answered about the permanence. We were concerned if the properties on the list change hands, what would be the contingency plan for that? And also, who would be assuming the liability over the public right-of-way if something fails? And also, on the first or the fourth slide, there was an additional support cable. Is that, that's like below umbrellas?
Is that also going to be
anchored
somewhere? It's just kind of out in space below the original
anchor
points. And I'm just
interested
if that has an anchor
point as well.
Suspended from
above.
Which
one do you mean?
The umbrella
is
suspended.
I want to answer another because
yes.
I also spoke to Anna at like
yes.
probably an hour and a half the other day.
Yes.
So
yes.
Happy to answer all of those things. So yes, the installation is temporary. Agreement is 60 days. The installation annually would come up, would happen the week of be up in time with the lighting the week after Thanksgiving, which makes it something like Roosevelt and other entities around town that light for that holiday season. 60 days is that duration. So yes, it is temporary.
But the bolts, you won't permanent.
The
yeah.
bolts
okay.
would like to be permanent
okay.
so that, because that is the lion's share of this work to get
right.
this up, so
right.
that every year we're not
doing
the same thing over and over again. That's your first question.
Yes.
Your second question in terms of legal entity over the street. So we do have a legal entity that's established.
Okay.
Katie can speak more to that as FQLI, LLC. We have a series of agreements and are working with the city to try and get the legal office to finalize the determination on hold harmless and not hold harmless. Renee and others have been helping us actually step down there trying to get a hold of them today. So the mayor's office is working with that. But we are 100% committed to making sure it's a permanent property, the liability and everything is done the right way.
And fully insured.
Okay.
And obviously the contractor is All-Star Electric, who handles most of the electrical work and in the French Quarter and fully insured as well.
Okay, cool. Yeah.
And to answer your question about the buildings changing hands, they're going to have to do this whole harmless every year. This isn't going to be like an in perpetuity thing. So if a building does get sold, you're going to have to go through, you know what I'm saying? It's just, that's just how it's going to work.
Just so, just as a note too, in addition to all of the building owners that it's attached to, they will find a release form both for each building and BCC. Katie has been reaching out to all the other building owners as well so that they're in between.
Correct. Like, I'm looking to all the businesses that don't necessarily have a cable attachment to advise them of what we're trying to do and get their support.
So this doesn't become a servitude?
Correct. No. Yes, it's less than 90 days. It's not a permanent thing.
Okay.
And we're hoping to have
that
confirmation.
Yeah, so the your question about the support cable, there is a secondary cable that's needed or really recommended for these sculptural pieces that if something happens to the primary, that's really something that will be falling over the right-of-way. We don't know that it'll be a second attachment point or if it'll be actually just a cable that goes to the current connection. We're working through the installer with that. Yeah, it would be
it's kind of like a breakaway cable, right?
It's a safety cable.
So if it were to be in that position, yes, there would be two anchors per building. We didn't necessarily depict that. I think we're hoping to get clarification from them in the in a day or two.
And that's only for the sculptural pieces.
That's only for the sculptural pieces.
Right.
So it's three locations.
Three.
Per block.
Yeah.
Okay.
One, two, three. Yeah.
Well, three umbrellas, two, so it'd be kind of five. But we have asked them a couple times, and we believe it would be okay to actually have that anchor be the same anchor as the,
Got it.
Have a V shape, which is
just
the way they've done it in the
And that's also with the fire department, and if you could just have a safety cable to allow somebody to get there if it did drop.
Yeah. And this is being reviewed by the fire department.
This is being reviewed truthfully by every entity in the city. Some that I never know existed.
Police department.
With the transition
fire.
Of leadership. Yes, it is. Yes.
And this is just a light question, but if somebody decides to walk across that cable from building to building, can it support their weight?
Yeah, so
I'm just saying it's the French Quarter.
We've had these discussions.
100%. Yes. I mean, it's rated for 600 pounds each side, so a total of 1,200 pounds of weight can be applied to it with factor safety 2, so 2,400 pounds of safety.
So a small elephant.
Yeah.
Push a refrigerator from one side to the other.
Okay.
I guess that means in concept you can hang a car from it. But the other thing to note is that the tension connection will fail before the failure strength of the anchor, so the potential for damage to the buildings is pretty minimal.
So, I mean, we have a very limited jurisdiction here to the attachment method. Everything else is other people say yes or no to everything else. So I think we can talk about the attachment method, but that's about all we have to talk about. Unless you want to talk about something else, like elephants walking across the street.
I'll accept that we're just talking about the attachment, but we are tasked with discussing the tout ensemble.
Yeah, I mean, if you have any comments about that, although,
that's more of a commission.
That's more of a commission issue.
Yeah. Okay.
Which I was not planning for this to go.
No, that would depend entirely on this commission.
Yes.
Yeah.
Discussion? Let's talk about the attachment plate. I think that the plate with that's the way to go.
Yeah, agreed.
From a structural, it's reversible. I mean, you lose a brick, you replace a brick, stuff like that.
Yeah.
Are you going to use galvanized material?
The plate will be galvanized, the anchors will be stainless steel.
Okay, good. That answers my concerns. But that doesn't mean it answers everybody else's concerns.
I appreciate that it's been so well thought out.
Yes. Thank you so much for
not sure, Katie, you'll do another project like this ever
Never
again.
Will I ever.
Well, we really
appreciate...
Well, thank
you for being thorough with one
thing. Yeah, we appreciate BCC has been the champion, the staff for us, in helping us navigate the department, again, in a time where we do not have, like, everyone's working 100% responding to emails. So they've been really helping just to get questions answered and make sure this is...
Primarily Renee.
Yes. 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 Renee's
pushing
right
now. Everybody. I've been saying it. We should put y'all in charge of more stuff around here.
Okay, but to be focused on the matter at hand, is there any other discussion? Anybody have anything else to say?
I didn't make a note. This is one example where it seems to be behind the guardrail. Mm-hmm.
Okay, back here. So does it go through the guardrail?
Well, I mean, in the way it's depicted currently, yes, I very much take your point that it's going to move and it's probably dangerous. I think what we can commit to do, because there's this scenario, and then there's a couple where we have very decorative gallery frame tops, is that in this case we'll put the anchor above the guardrail and make sure the sag is above the guardrail.
Yeah, that's what I would do.
Yeah.
And then for the one where it's below, we'll just make sure it's below so that the sag completely clears the iron.
And then I assume, I also have this question, on the ones where you've done this that have galleries or balconies, those are not occupied galleries or balconies?
Well,
or they're not
going to
endanger anybody on the balcony.
Where we're attaching to. Well, I would say we will not be attaching to the gallery. We depicted this both ways just in case.
Okay.
But if we're going to.
But so, like this one, for example, if this is up here on the wall, are there people on this?
Well, it's very high up.
It's really high. Okay, okay.
They
have, the contractor has marked the locations of everything.
Okay.
So in conversations yesterday, we were going to walk the challenging locations to confirm that before they do any work. Thank you.
I think we're just worrying about the clothesline effect.
Yes.
Yeah, right. I believe the one you put up previously, I believe that's the only one we have, to my knowledge, where, and it's at the end of the balcony, that's the only one where you could physically run into this thing.
I don't think that's occupied.
Yeah, so if it's not occupied, then that's fine. I believe all the rest of them work out to where they're under the third floor gallery floor.
Perfect.
I had marked on 221 Bourbon too. I'm not seeing that in here. Let me see.
Can we make a global motion for can we make a global motion for the property shown?
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, absolutely. Please.
Please.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
You want us to go through every single property? 21.
Is there a motion in the matter of this 200 and 300 block of Bourbon Street?
Yes, in the matter of the holiday lighting proposal before us, I move to conceptually approve the work with any final details to be worked out at the staff level, including some of these more challenging locations we were just discussing.
Is there a second for that motion?
I second.
All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Motion passes. We are at the end of our agenda. Do I have a motion to adjourn?
I so move.
Do I have a second for that?
I'll second that.
All in favor say aye.
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 We have adjourned.
Thank you guys.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Thanks.